Blog Talk Radio.
Not a second for another minute, not an hour, another day, but at this moment with my arms outstretched, I need you to make a way, as you have done so many times before. Through a window or an open door, I stretch my hands to thee. Come rescue me, I need you right. I need you now. I need you now. I need you now. I need you now. Not another second. Another minute, not an hour of another day, but Lord, I need you right away. If I never needed you before, to show up and restore all of the faith that I left while I was yet searching the world for more, the truest friend I have indeed. You're my best friend, I know in me. I stretch my hands to thee. Come rescue me, I need you right away. Doing things on my own, the tests and trials that come to make me strong, the feelings of guilt, hurt, shame, and defeat, the ways of trials that beat upon me, but to know, Lord, not another minute, Lord. Can't wait another day. Oh, oh Lord. Please make a way. Oh, Lord, oh, Lord.
This is Emma E2K. You are now tuned in to Street Queens, The Movement.
That's what it is. Girl, that's you. Less live in the building, and you're now listening to Street Queens, The Movement. Tonight, we're talking about the holy hustle. Tonight is our subject is the holy hustle. We have the wonderful and beautiful ladies of the panel, and we have some kings that always join us on Thursdays. So this is the issue that we're going to talk about, the holy hustle. I mean, you know, has religion become the new hustle and the new mafia? Let's talk about it. It seems like everybody can get a church nowadays. And besides that, you got people that got jets. You got pastors that got jets, ATMs in these churches and stuff like that. Let's talk about that. Do you feel some type of way about that? Call in at 347-826-7722. We also should be having a special guest, Rashida. She's also, a marketing guru and doing her thing out there in the Baltimore area, and she is the lady to know. So she should be joining us live on Street Queens and Movement tonight later. We got a caller with a block number live on the line. Peace. Caller with the block number, what's good? Caller with the block number, you're live on Street Queens and Movement. Peace. All righty then, I guess you're just listening. Like I said, we're talking about, the holy hustle. My thing is like this, when it comes to religion, it's basically, to me, I feel like religion is more of a man-made thing. Your spirituality is all about your faith and what you believe in. But at the end of the day, sometimes do you feel like some people are just kind of taking advantage of helpless souls out there that's definitely trying to look for somebody to seek spiritual counseling? You have some people out here that are, like, getting ridiculous with it. You got people that they have to be lined up, whether they're in a social class, they're coming in wondering if they're driving BMWs or if they're wearing the latest Chanel and things like that. And the question is, when did, trying to find God and find your spirituality and stuff like that come with a cost? You had to pay for it, Tithes and everything like that is supposed to be, a percentage of whatever you work. But at the end of the day, if you don't have it, you still shouldn't be forced. You got some churches that actually force you and make you feel embarrassed and say, oh, well, you don't got nothing today, huh? And call you out, All the people, they have you raising, all the people with the $500 donations, raise your hand up and come to the front. All the people with $200 donations, $500, $1,000, It's like, come on now. When do we start ranking people depending on how much they make and how much they pay in donations and stuff to be treated better than anybody else, That's the problem. You got pastors that are living in big mansions like they're superstars. You have pastors that are out there with jets, personalized jets like they're Barack Obama. You have pastors that have ATMs in their freaking churches. And I'm trying to really figure out what's really going on. When did it get to the point where the pastor became the celebrity? Is the pastor supposed to heal the souls and be the messenger of God, or what is he? That's the question. Let's talk about it. We're talking about the holy cuss. What do you think about it? Call in at 347-826-7722 on Lush Radio Online. Let's talk about it, the holy hustle. I think everybody, is just, picking up, their situation and saying that they got a call and they're designed to get a church. I mean, you got people that are, you got some gay pastors out there, and they're pastors, You got some pastors that have been molested, and they're pastors. Like, what's really going on? They're getting all this money. The pastors are getting all this money, and they're not paying taxes. What? They're not paying taxes? The pastor's getting all this money for the church. People are driving up in Mercedes Benzes. They're going to Puerto Rico, but they can't even help out the people in their congregation, and they don't even know half of the people's names in their congregation. Doesn't make sense to me. Let's talk about it. Is the religion just a form of control like the government is? Let's talk about it. The holy hustle, what you think about it? Some people might, get passionate about it. Some people might say, hey, it is what it is. But call in because we want you to lend your voice and talk about it. How do you feel about it? What's your gripe about it? 347-826-7722. We'll open the line for the king, the one and only genius. What's up, genius? How you doing tonight?
What's going on, Les?
Ain't nothing much, man. Talking about this holy hustle, man. I mean, I feel like some people are hustling people out of their money. People putting up their houses and all kinds of things, for the church. And at the end of the day, if they're in a situation where they're out of it or they have nothing for themselves, does the church help them at the end of the day? That's the question. Or do they tell you, go ahead and go find social service? Because I've been seeing that. Let's talk about it. How you feel about it?
Well, I'm discouraged by a lot of it, you know what I'm saying? Not to say that all churches are bad. I mean, some do good. Others, you know, they're questionable. But I think that, and in most cases, they're supposed to file taxes like a regular business, because in essence, it is a business when you have, you know, the majority of the congregation giving up 10% of their income towards the church. Then by all means, that church should be doing things to actually not only help the members, but to help the community that that church, you know, actually resides in. And I don't really see that happening, you know, and that's sad, you know, because that's what should be happening, you know. When Jesus walked the earth, he helped people. You know, he didn't say, come into my four walls and, you know, praise me. You know, he was a doer and an actor, and I think that they need to lead by example with that. Not to down any religion or anything, because we all need a belief system, and to not believe that there's a supreme being up there guiding us is foolish. But, you know, I think that they should go about doing things in the right and proper way. So I'm definitely with you as far as a lot of the things. I don't think that it's right or fair for the pastors to be riding around in, you know, Mercedes-Benz, Bentleys, and everything else when the congregation walking to church, catching the bus to church, you know, and struggling and striving. I don't think that's right.
I'm kind of like, you know, feeling like, okay, these are the blood and sweat and tears of these people, you know, hard-earned money, and they're giving the tithes into the church, and you have this, you always have this building tithe, and the tithe, they've got the church that's never got built. Where's that money going to? That's my question, but I'm going to go let my girl Emma, peace, queen. How you doing today, queen? Peace.
Peace. Feel blessed today.
That's what it is, man. It's definitely a blessing, you know. I mean, we all need faith out here, you know. We all need faith, and we're not saying that you know every church or you know every religion is bad. We're just stating that the fact that some people are kind of profiting a little bit too much when it comes to, you know, the tithes and just the form of just hustling people out of their money. I mean, talk about it. How you feel about that, Emma?
I don't want to step on nobody's religious toes. That's why I say I'm a spiritual person, and to me, where I stand and I talk about God, that is my church. I don't think that I have to necessarily give 10% of my tithes for the Lord to hear me and to see my heart. I'd rather take that 10% and give it to the community or give it to actually somebody that really needs it and needs my services or needs my time. Work that way, you know, under a roof or whatever. To each his own, you know, I know a lot of people pass.
You breaking up, Emma?
I said, I know a lot of good pastors out there, but everybody kind of just got to do what feels comfortable to them and how best they can serve, you know, their calling, whatever that calling is. Some people are not meant to be up in the church or whatever. Some are meant to really actually do the work out in the field, in the street with the people, you know. So definitely shout out to them, to those people that really take out their time and do for others. Unconditionally, they do it without expecting nothing, you know, nothing in return. And that 10% tithe, you know, they end up, you know, giving it to where it really belongs, to people really eating and not, you know, watching your pastor, you know, push that Bentley and all that, you know, and stuff like that. So, you know what I mean? I mean, the hardest thing that you're struggling and you're working really hard and you're like, wow, you know, I never wore a shirt that cost me more than $20. And here come the pastor with the Versace stuff on, talk about, you know, praise him. And it's hard. You know what I mean? That's just a real hard thing. You know what I mean? Because, I mean, really, let's be a little realistic about the situation here. I'm worried about feeding my children, and you walking up in here, you know, in a Bentley and stuff. And, you know, I kind of got to scratch my head. Like, did I pay for that? You know?
Yeah, man. You got some pastors walking in where they're throwing, you know, red carpets down for them. You know, they got intro. I mean, this is just like a whole extravagant show. You know what I mean? And it's like they, some people even have ATMs in their churches. That's too much.
Yeah.
I can't. I don't even understand that. If a church has an ATM, I don't need to be in there. I'm gonna open up the line for our peace queen, Ebony. How you feeling? We talking
peace
about
queen.
The homie hustle.
Peace, peace. Yeah, I know. I've been listening.
How you feel about it, Ebony?
ATMs in the church is going way overboard because they're making it that it's all about the money, you know. Some people cannot afford to tithe, you know, and then you set up an ATM inside the church. What kind of message are you actually sending?
Mm-hmm.
When you have the cash, you'll come there with the cash. You don't need to put your plastic in anything.
That's what it is. I'm not even going to mention the name of this pastor, but there's a pastor out here that actually has a jet, you know, and brings all the big name, you know, like artists, gospel artists, to, you know, and does big concerts and everything like that. Well, my question, because I know Street Queens, the movement, I know me and Emma, and us are the queens, we do stuff for the community. But I want to know, what are some of these things that the churches are doing for the community, especially these big mega churches? Half of them don't even know who half of the people are in the church. They're just another number, another person to add to the tithe. You understand what I'm saying? What I don't understand is, how can you go to a church and they have, like, five tithes? That doesn't make sense. Who has all that money to give to the church? Who has? And then they look at you like you're crazy when you don't get the money up. I don't feel
yeah, they
like
make
people
you feel some sort of way.
Yeah. They make you feel
like,
some
like
sort
you're
of
struggling.
Way.
Like you're struggling. Let me see. I have to feed my kids tomorrow. I have to give them this money. Let's see. Which one do I do? God, which one would you like me to do? Feed the children? Feed my kids? Or, you know, contribute to the Bentley's gas money? Which one should I do? I'm struggling here.
That's like that bracelet. What would Jesus do right now at the moment? What would Jesus do?
And
for
it's
real,
like, the, okay, for instance, you know, like the churches, they always, the church is always asking for you for donations. So you give donations, everybody gives donations to the churches, like clothing and stuff like that. But why doesn't the church use that money that they're collecting on the tithes and all that to buy already the food and stuff? Why are you asking for donations if you got money? That's like another thing. You know what I mean? Why are you relying on other people to donate for the people that you have in your church when you're collecting all this money? Isn't that the sole purpose, is to help the people in your church? Right? That's another.
That's true.
Okay.
That's true. Mm-hmm. That's definitely true. But you know what? I gotta recollect on an experience. I had a young lady that went faithfully to this church. It was a big congregation, a big church. Went there faithfully with her mother. Her mother would play her tithes and everything like that. Situation happened. Her mother died. She asked the pastor of the church. She asked them, please, can you help me? They said, well, we can't do anything. Go to social services. Wow. This is a church that you've been going faithfully. You do everything at the church. You give your tithes, and the church said, go to social services. You know, I'm like, if you guys, usually churches come together to help their community. So you just telling them, oh, forget it, but yet you guys are riding the Mercedes Benzes, and y'all saying y'all about to take a trip somewhere. Like, I don't understand that. Then I had another situation where, you know, I know a gentleman that the father was part of a building of a church, and they put up their house for the church, and they never even got any recognition for anything, you know. And the thing about it is the mental control that some of these churches have over the people, that they feel like they have to do this stuff. I've seen people that haven't paid their like house mortgage because they're worried about giving their tithe. Now, that's too much, you know, and I feel like some of that is a form of control, you know, and I really think it's a problem when you're really, you know, neglecting yourself in order to to pacify the church. And I feel like it's wrong if a pastor or a congregation, you know, that's more to me, I feel like, more of cultism versus a community of spiritual people that actually look out for the benefit of a human being. You understand what I'm saying? But how do y'all feel about that? You know, when it comes that you feel like the forcing, the feeling of being forced to pay tithes when you know you really don't have it. You know, that's the situation that I have a problem with. I have a problem with, you know, people coming to church and wondering, are you driving a Mercedes Benz? Well, and being you know, a so-called, I guess, Christian or whatever you are, whatever religion you are, is not to be judged. How can you judge somebody if you're not God? You have no right to judge anybody. You know, and then at the end of the day, you know, the church is supposed to come as you are. You're coming over there to come and hear your soul, not to be judged on what kind of clothes you got on. You got people that...
Or if you got money in your pocket or not.
Yeah, you know.
You got to be outside the church. Let me see what I got in my pocket. I ain't got no money. I can't go in there and talk to the Lord. Like, that's crazy. You have to make sure you have an admission to come into church to, you know, to be able to soothe your soul. It should be no questions asked automatically. That should be a house of worship that you can just go in there and be treated and accepted, you know, as brothers and sisters, so the Bible says. But, you know, everybody has their own interpretation of the Bible. Again, that's why I remain spiritual. And I feel my churches, wherever I'm talking about, about God, it could be with one person, two person, three people. Wherever I speak about the Lord and his good deeds and his good will, that is church to me. So that's my belief.
That's what it is. And I want to ask y'all a question. When did they start making you fill out applications to come into a church? I see some churches ask you to do like a whole booklet of applications just to be a member of the church. When did that start happening? You know? You know, that's, you know, you're trying to come in there to try to get your spiritual connection, you know, and because of some of these mega churches, it makes people feel like shy away from going to the church because people want to find a community of people they can worship with, but it's hard when you have a whole bunch of people that are in there. Either you got bigots, you got hypocrites, and you got people that just feel like they're just better than you because they make more money than you, and they're basically taking love offerings. They say love offerings. So you get tithes, and then you get the pastor's love offering. They don't get no taxes on it because they don't pay taxes. They're supposed to, but I see a lot of churches that don't pay taxes at all. Where is all that money going to? I know my church that I go to, when I was homeless, they helped me through it. They actually feed the homeless. They donated money to Haiti. They do share packages for people that don't got that much food. But they're a small church. You know, they be having they're a small church, though.
And you know that they're protected, though, by the religion law. That's why they get away with that stuff. There is a law that you can hide behind due to your certain religion. You know, you're doing due to your religion, beliefs, and all that they can't really touch you or mess with you too much, the government. So that's how, you know, where there's a will, there's a way to escape doing things.
That's what it is. But you got ex-cons, death pastors, you know. You got ex-cons, death pastors. You got cons that are pastors.
Let me tell you something. I know some, you know, and I know some that come home from prison, and they're, you know, and it's all on the walk. You know, you got to see their walk. There's some that, again, do it, you know, for that religious loophole situation because of their parole or whatever. But there's others that really, really have turned their life around, not only when they come home, but in there already. You know, I know a pastor now that came home and has started his church. He did 26 years in prison, and the majority of his bid, that's what he was doing. You know, talking about, you know, Christ and everything in there, in the facility, in the mouth, you know, in the mouth of the devil, as you could say, while he was in prison. He's been walking the walk. He's been talking it. He's been showing it, and he's out here, you know, in the worst community ever in the Bronx. He built a church, and he's actually making changes. So, you know, there are some that really generally, you know, really mean it. But unfortunately, you got those that, you know, take it as a joke and take it as, well, if I'm a pastor, I can drive a Bentley and I can do this. and I can get away with a lot of stuff. You know what I mean? So, you know, I say that those that do it not for the genuine reason going to have to pay for that eventually. You know, they're going to have to pay for that eventually in their lives or whatever, you know. Again, we're nobody to judge nobody else. But there are some good people and some good pastors out there that I have seen in churches that are good. But, you know, like everything else, there's good people, there's bad people, there's, you know, I mean, you know, everybody's in the mix. You just got to kind of filter out where you need to be.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. And I want to touch bases on your own walk when it comes to that spiritual connection, like, you know, finding your own walk, like, you know, you shouldn't be feeling this, you know, when do you find your own spiritual walk and actually find your own church home? You know, can you guys talk to me about your own situations in regards to finding, like, your own church home or, you know, just finding your own spiritual walk? Ebony, you want to talk about, you know, just finding your own spiritual walk and your own spiritual home, you know, that journey?
Well, I would just say that it starts as a youth. With me, it started as a youth. I used to go to church because my grandparents, my mother never went to church, of what I remember. My grandparents used to come over and pick me up on Friday night or Saturday, whichever day they felt like, you know, that was good for them. But they would definitely have me Saturday night if I didn't come Friday, and I would stay the weekend over there with them. And we had a ritual. They would come pick me up. I would go over there, and I'd be super spoiled, so I loved going over there. I was the only, like, the little kid over there. My grandmother was a lady who took in, she was a foster mother, so she took in other people's children. She took in a lot of kids and raised them. But I was her baby. So as I would come over there, we would watch, at that night, we watched T.J. Hooker, Dance Fever, and then it was time for me, or Dance Fever, then T.J. Hooker, and then it was time for me to go to bed. And when we woke up in the morning, we would go to church. And that's all I knew, Sunday school and then regular church. Regular church, I'd always fall asleep on my grandmother's lap. And I would see this man shouting and dancing. And I would see all people getting the Holy Ghost. And I wouldn't know or understand what was going on. I just knew that's what happened in church. I got baptized, I think, the first time when I was around 12. And I didn't understand why, you know, I knew what they told me while I was getting baptized, but I didn't understand myself. I didn't go, you know, I didn't understand for myself the reason of the baptism. So as I got older, I started visiting other churches because as children, you have friends that go to different churches and they say what they're doing. There's a lot of churches that as a youth, you know, they bring different things into the church. I started going to a church, which was Pentecostal church. It was with the pastor, brother, and sister Shamlin. I went to a church camp. They spoke in tongues. So the church that my grandmother went to, they ran around the church and got the Holy Ghost, but I don't remember anyone speaking in tongues. When I went to the Pentecostal church, I heard them speaking in tongues. So that was a whole nother different, you know, area of something I've never seen. So I'm actually looking at them, you know, like, what are they speaking? How are they speaking? And then after that, I was taught that there's a speaking of tongues, and then there's a gift of the interpretation of speaking in tongues. So after whomever for that night or a couple of nights spoke tongues, there would be somebody that stood up in the church and repeated word for word as if they were Jesus Christ himself, like really weird, saying, I, thus, ye, you know, how the Bible says they speak, and they would interpretate what tongues was. As I grew older, I decided to go to church myself, and as I was walking my walk through with God, myself personally, I started, you know, dealing with things. Since the devil is always busy, you know, there was a lot of temptations, and I just continued to go to church. And one of the, and as Emma was saying, there was a, you know, how people can go to, and, you know, go to prison and then come out and work for the Lord. I experienced one of those experiences myself as well. The church that I ended up going to, as I got older, it made me feel like a home church. They did a lot of, you know, activities to where you felt a part of it. And that was really touched me the most. And the pastor was this guy's uncle who was, you know, way in the streets. And it's funny how you can have that has a pastor, and all the kids grew up in the church, but then you get the kids that leave the church and start doing their own thing. So he was a very well-known drug dealer that when he first came out of prison, he said that he was, you know, following from God and things of that nature. He actually tried to talk to me, and I was a member of the church. He actually tried to talk to me, and at that point in time, I didn't feel like he was really walking the walk and, you know, that he was talking. So, because me and his sister was like really good friends. And when he actually really took on the walk and started speaking God's word, he changed his life like completely. His friends that was his friends, he couldn't see them anymore. When he did see them, he always ministered to them. Now to say he has, I believe he has two churches. He got married and had a family and things of that nature. But I just think that internally, it's about your own walk and your own relationship with God. Because as I was going to church, I couldn't just go to, I was going to Bible study. And I also was developing my own relationship with God. I was speaking with them, you know, having conversations, you know, and just fellowshipping with God by myself outside of church. And I think that's what people need to do with whomever their higher power is they need to fellowship, you know, with you know, their higher power themselves, because, you know, the higher power would never steer you wrong.
That's what it is. We got a caller from the 347. You're live on Street Queens, the movement. We're talking about the Holy Hustle and, different churches and stuff like that, you know. Some churches, you know, the mega churches, you know, they got ATMs. You know, they asking for $500 donations and stuff like that in tithes. So we're talking about them. We're talking about spiritual walks. 347, you're live. What's your name and where you calling from?
What's good, Lush? It's just Swag up in the building.
Love Swag.
What's going
on? What's good with you, Swag? What's crackalacking, man?
I finally
went on your page on Facebook, Swag.
No doubt.
That's what it is, man. We talking about these spiritual walks and stuff, man. Everybody stated in regards to how they felt about, like, some of, you know, these churches that are kind of like profiting, you know, off, you know, helping souls that, you know, just want to find that spiritual connection. How you feel about that?
I mean, I feel like it's you know, it goes back to the old days, you know. You really don't, you should not need money in order to be able to praise God. And that's, you know, that's the basic, you know, the general idea is that, you know, you connecting with the Creator or whoever it is that you believe is the Creator. So it should not be a fee charged. Another thing is that a lot of churches, and not just like church, but the mosque and a lot of other religious organizations, they receive money from different levels of the government anyway. So they technically don't need money. They just, a lot of times there's politics involved in that, and what they want to do is they want to compete with the church down the block or the churches on the same block as them. So, you know, they want to make sure the front of the church looks better than the rest of the churches on the block so they can get more people to come in, which in return is going to generate more money. So it's just kind of crazy whenever you get into politics and whenever you get into the whole on the dollar bill it says in God we trust, you know what I mean? Like when you get into that, it's like really it's not right and exact, you know what I mean? It's really foul. You know, because, you know, if you look at all the prophets and you look at all of the people of God, for the most part, they were poor. And I'm not saying that you have to be poor if you want to, you know, live a spiritual life. I'm just saying that, you know, it's not money that's going to get you into heaven. You know, that's the bottom line. So it's bad that these, I mean, these churches, they don't impress me, though, because it doesn't surprise me that they're asking for a, you know, abundant amount of money and all that. It doesn't really surprise me because they're just products of the society. So this society tells you to be selfish and get money and whatever you're doing, whatever walk of life you're doing, you know what I mean? They have people that are actually responsible for, like, you know, homeless shelters and battered women and kids that are, you know, going through real hard circumstances, and they're begging for money and getting money from the same people that they're, claiming that they're going to help. They're getting money from. So it doesn't surprise me. Doesn't surprise me at all. I just think it's real messed up, and you know, we got to educate ourselves and arm ourselves, you know, and really understand what the church is all about and the origin of the church. Because when you go way, way, way back to the churches before, it was like either give money or die. You know what I mean? Like they give you the option now. Before it was like you give us money or you gotta die. So it's just really bad, and you know, you really got to be aware of these things that's going on.
Yeah, I mean, and also with the same president, with presidents with that, like you have to, like I know two churches out here that, you know, actually own developments. Like you got a big mega church, and on top of that, you're getting money from a development that your people are paying you rent for, and then on top of that, you opening up an elderly home. You know what I'm saying? Instead of and you building up condominiums and all this stuff, you know what I mean, and owning all this property, like, where the homeless shelters at? Where is joints for, like, women that's going through it? Like, where, like, when people in your congregation need help, you know, you are not there to help them, but you building all this stuff and getting all this money, though. I don't, but they're already getting money with the development already. They're getting government funding. Then on top of that, they're asking for tithes. That's crazy.
Right. It's just real messed up, though, Lush, you know, because people turn to the church. That's supposed to be a place where people turn when they're in dire need of help and when they're looking for direction and looking for guidance, and here it is that they tap into your pockets. And, you know, they do say you're supposed to give in religion, you're supposed to give 10% of your earnings, but if somebody's making $10, I mean, 10% of that, you know what I mean? So, you know, it's just bad that when you put money into it, but in all stories and everything that I talk about and build about, I like to look at both perspectives. So if I can look at it from the reverend or the pastor or the deacon or whoever's perspective, you know, I mean, they're just trying to further their cause. And at the end of the day, even though it's religious, it's also a business. And you have to understand that. The same thing with college. You know, people are like, oh, the college is so expensive, you know, to go to NYU here in the city. You know, it's $40,000 to $50,000, you know, a year. That's expensive. You know what I mean? That's very expensive. But like I always tell people, it's a business. So you're stepping into an institution. If you want to find God, then just open up your Bible, open up your Quran, whatever your holy book is, the Torah, whatever it is. Open up your book in the comfort of your own home. You won't have to worry about paying $10 or $50 or whatever.
That's real talk. You know? CD Maggie is in the chat room. And CD Maggie says only black neighbors have, she said only black neighborhoods have 100 churches, but in the burbs is only like 10. Why is the crime lower in the burbs?
Well, you know what?
I don't know that. Anybody want to answer that question?
you said why is the crime lower in the burbs?
Yeah.
Well, actually, I disagree with that. You know, it depends on what perspective you're looking at it from, because the majority of crimes actually are committed in the suburbs. It's the people that come from the urban development that actually go into the suburbs and commit crimes, as well as, you know, in those suburbs is those people that's in there that are more susceptible to committing crimes than somebody in the hood. So, you know, I don't really agree with that. You know, living in both facets of life, I mean, I'm not rich, but, you know, I've lived in, you know, different environments, and I've seen it, you know. And then even in traveling the world, you see different things. You know, crime is crime and is everywhere, you know what I'm saying? And I would never say it's more so in the hood than it is in the suburbs. It's just not broadcasted like it is in the urban development.
See, that's a good point. And another thing, let me say this real quick. Another thing is that that's a good point, and also we got to be clear on what crime is. See, we're in the neighborhood, or in the hood, if you will, you know what I mean? Where it's more, it appears to be more visible, but things are not what they always appear to be. Because, you know, I lived in upscale neighborhoods where, you know, the real estate there to get a home is like, you know, $800,000 and up. I've lived in those neighborhoods, and the thing about it is that, you know, the crime goes on there. It's just that they do it very discreetly.
Yeah.
Not people hanging on the corners and stuff like that, but there are a lot of crimes being committed. So let's really look at the definition of what a crime is. It doesn't mean that because your pants are hanging low that you're committing a crime. And, you know, just because you have a suit and a tie on doesn't mean that you're not committing a crime.
Well, this is another thing I want to say in regards to the churches. If we got all these churches, you got 50 million churches, they making all this money, how come we got so many children in the street, so many homeless people, how much we got so many children that need to get adopted? Why don't some of these churches adopt some of these children? You know, if they got a lot of money. A lot of these churches got a lot of money. They are making multi-billion dollar industry. Even with the gospel concerts, that's a multi-billion-dollar industry. You know?
Can I speak on that one, Lux?
Yeah, go ahead and speak on it.
I'll tell you this, and I have my personal opinions. My uncle and aunt are pastors in the church right out in Landover. I ain't going to put them on blast and, you know, put their church out there. But, you know, I've seen a lot of things, and I challenge anyone who actually owns, whether it's a mosque, church, or any institution, you know, of faith, I challenge all of them to go out and do the work that they sit there and supposed to be actually teaching. Go out and do it. If you're calling yourself a Christian, that's saying that you're walking in Christ's shoes, then go out and do the things that he did. But unfortunately, we live in a capitalist system, and the church is a business. And by law, ever since November 8th of, what was that, 98, they have to file taxes as a business. You know what I'm saying? And they are supposed to be actually going out and doing those good works and good deeds, but we as a people need to actually, instead of saying, okay, don't worry about the pastors, just come here and hear the word. No, we need to speak up and change these things, just like with the government. You know, we remain silent and don't voice ourselves and don't act on these things to change these things. They'll continue to go on. Me personally, I personally believe that if there's an institution of faith that's on the block, I shouldn't see drug selling. I shouldn't see poverty. I shouldn't see prostitution. I shouldn't see homeless people sitting out there on that block. You understand what I'm saying? Because if this is a place of faith, then they should be doing everything in their power to actually ensure these things as opposed to saying, come in our church.
They should be creating programs. They should be creating programs for things like that, for prostitutes that are out there that want to come and try to find a job. They should be creating these different programs because they have enough money. I can see if it's a small church, they don't really have it like that. But you even got the smaller churches that are going out there in the streets doing that, delivering food to people that don't have it like that. You know what I'm saying? Helping those families. Small churches. But you got these big mega churches that don't even do that and don't even care. The thing that kills me the most is, like, people like me and Emma, when we do these different, like, the DJ Carl Blaze event, the coat drives, the thing that she does, and this is just one person. She goes out there and she does that, organizes these every year. And she does this. You know what I'm saying? And you got these mega churches, and, you know, it's to ask these cats for sponsorship or different things like that, you know, it's pulling tooth and nail. You're supposed to be trying to help the community. That's what I have a problem with. And stuff, but we have another caller live on the line. Caller from the block number, you're live on Street Queens, the movement. We're talking about the holy hustle. What's up? What you think about it? Okay, I guess she just was, they were just listening. Don't be scared now, you know what I'm saying? You know, but Emma, tell me about your holy walk and stuff like that. You know, finding, you know, how, was it hard for you finding your church home or your spiritual home? Or do you feel like it's more like you just need to just find your own spiritual connection yourself? How you feel about it, Emma?
Yeah, I mean, you know, since young, you know, I've seen my grandmother, you know, take spirits on and speak, you know, in tongue, and, you know, my grandmother dealt with all type of, you know, worshiping to saints and all that. And I seen that growing up, but then my mother would tell me, no, you know, you got to read the Bible and pray to God and all that. And so I, growing up, I had a little confusion, what was what was right, where, you know, in my religious path. But I did know, because my mother definitely instilled with me since young, I did know that I had an obligation to help people. How, I didn't really know, you know, but even in my grandmother and her other beliefs, she always used to tell me the same thing. When people ask you for help, you are not to say no. You are to help, you know, as many people as you can, when you can, you know, and stuff like that. So, you know, I've always was confused. I don't know, am I supposed to be having my own saint? Is it the cross that's the issue, whatever? I don't know. So as I got into an age that I was able to, you know, visit different churches, you know, I went to Pentecostal, I went to Catholic churches, I went to gospel churches, all type of churches, churches where they sing, churches where they do concerts, you know, churches where they made me feel somewhat like I had to pull out money and give it to them, otherwise I thought I was going to get beat up. You know, churches where they actually, you know, churches actually where I felt like the light, like all of a sudden everything stops and the light is on me. Eh, she didn't give no money. Like, whoa, what about I didn't have? So, wow. You know, I've gone through all that, and through, you know, after going through all that, I just decided that church is not the place for me. And, you know, and I was a little bothered by it because I was like, wow, how, you know, everybody belongs to some sort of church or whatever. But you know what? In doing my spiritual walk and getting closer to the higher power and understanding who I am and what I'm meant to do in this world, I don't belong to any church. I actually belong to God, and He places me where I belong. So if I'm not in a particular church or whatever, I don't belong there. I belong with the people. I belong helping my brothers, my sisters, my cousins, my friends. I belong being on the other side of the phone when somebody calls me at 3 o'clock in the morning because they need to talk because they're about to commit a crime or something to themselves, and I get to talk them out of it. That's where I belong. You know, I belong out there feeding people, giving toys to kids, and all the other community stuff that I do, you know, here that feels, you know, that my cup is runneth over. When I do those things, I feel fulfilled. I feel that's what, you know, that's my calling. It's not for everybody, because this walk is definitely not for everybody, but it's the walk for me, you know. So I stay spiritual. I look at everything, I listen to everything, and I take what's best, you know, what I feel comfortable with. And if I can sleep at night and I can get up the next day and not have a problem with what I've done or the decisions that I made in my life, then I'm okay. You know, I don't feel I need to be in a church to be judged how my shirt, you know, maybe is a little, shows a little cleavage, or my pants a little too tight, or my, you know, whatever, you know, with the people that have been there 20 years going to church, you know. So I'm, you know, to me, I'm where God places me. I, you know, I'm a vessel. I allow Him to place me where I belong, and usually He puts me in the right spot. So, you know, that's just, you know, and again, to me, church is wherever I stand and wherever I talk about the Lord or the higher power or the goodness of mankind. If I can build with one person, two person, three people, and in between that building we get to learn and exchange knowledge and all that, then that is my church. Right then and there, at that moment, that is church for me.
That's what it is. That's what it is. And on a side note, CD Maggie, she is going in here. She said that she knows personally a pastor who had gotten the elderly to sign life insurance policies to them to carry on his ministry, and it was legal. And it's legal. And a member of her church told her that his grandmother did it for $50,000.
Oof. This is what I'm saying. That loophole, crazy. that legal religion loophole that they use, you know, for certain things. I mean, you know, it can be used as a scam like everything else, you know. Again, you know, as everybody has mentioned, because the church is a business, then you have all these type of legal loopholes
that you can do things, you know, hiding from the government and all that. But in all reality, you can do loopholes and you can hide from the government, the IRS and all that, but you can't hide from the higher one up there. So eventually you're going to have to pay for that. Sooner or later, trust me, he will let you know his presence and he will let you know, you know, all that stuff is going to stop and you're going to pay for it. Whether it be you lose someone in your life, whatever it is that he decides is your punishment, it'll come down on you. It's going to come down hard. So, you know, so again, of course, we should never judge anyone else. Everybody has their own destiny to live. Just try to do as much righteous thing as you possibly could, because it's good for your soul. At the end of the day, trust me, you're going to feel a lot better about yourself. I don't mean go out there in a corner and, you know, and be a nuisance, because nobody's going to listen to people just rambling. But in your daily life, people you work with, people you associate with, people you sit down next to in the train and the bus, you know, on the traffic light or whatever, if you can exchange anything that's positive to anybody else, and we can kind of create that feedback where we can talk and dialogue about things and topics and all that, we make, you know, the world a better place for our children, a better place for us to be able, you know, just to live per se, and not to be so worried and not to be so scared that we're walking and something may happen to us, whatever have you, you know. It all relies on us. It's not just the churches. We can't just see, you know, think that the churches are going to answer all our questions or whatever, because we're walking in there and who they asking is the higher power. And we all got direct connection to them, to him, you know what I'm saying, to him, her, you know, it's the presence, you know, whatever people want to believe, you know, the energy. We all can tap into that. If we really sit down and, you know, we can tap, everybody has that certain energy that they can tap into for the greater, you know, goodness. Everybody has that. You just got to take that time to really, you know, walk that walk and seek that journey. Not everybody, you know, is at that point. But when you're at that point, you'll know where you belong. You know what you're supposed to do. It's just things that you'll know in due time.
That's definitely what it is. And I want to read a quick scripture real quick. The Lord does not see as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Samuel 16:7. So,
amen.
You know, we look at the flesh. We look at the flashy cars. We look at this person that's supposed to be channeling the energy, but God knows a person's heart and their spirit and their righteousness. So, you know, only God can judge you, as they say. You know, man is born into flesh and born into sin, you know. So no one is out here that is perfect, you know. And no reverend or pastor is perfect out here. They've done their dirt. Everybody's done their dirt. No, you can't tell me there's no pastor out there that is perfect. There's no pastor out there that did not do their dirt out there in the street. But everybody has the right for second chance in life. So if they become pastors and stuff like that, but that doesn't mean we need to sit there and focus so much on the flesh. We need to be able to channel that message for us and how it comes into our life and how it works into our life and stuff like that. Because we get so people sometimes get trapped into the worshiping of a human being rather than, you know, actually knowing the word and knowing how it applies to your everyday life. But I want to know, you know, Genius, your spiritual walk, you know, were you kind of like trained to like actually like be a certain way when it comes to, you know, when it comes to like in regards to, you know, religion? Were you trained to be a certain way as growing up? Talk to me and tell the people, you know, about your spiritual walk, Genius.
Well, I mean, my spiritual walk was, you know, I guess a lot different than others. I mean, I come from a diverse family. My mom's from Tanzania. My dad's Iroquois. You know, I can honestly say that religion wasn't forced upon me. You know, my mom was Muslim, and like I said, my dad was Native, you know, but even some of them were Muslim, some were Christian. What my parents actually did is they gave me the opportunity of, number one, teaching me about it. And I think it's very important that you know what you're following. Don't just follow something because somebody says to follow it. Because your mom was a Christian and you're supposed to be a Christian, I don't personally believe that. You know, I believe that all truth you know, in life, and things lie within you. I look at my body as my temple, as my church, so to speak. You know, not the four walls, because even when you go in there, he reaches into you, not those four walls. And you don't need somebody to tell you that. He's always there and always present. You know, and I think that, you know, knowledge of yourself, the more you know and understand yourself, the more you can understand anything or anyone. So I think that that's very important. What my parents basically did was, you know, they gave me the option to choose. You know, they educated me and I actually chose. I'm a Muslim. I chose to be a Muslim. Nobody forced me to be a Muslim or anything. You know, I went to different churches. Like I said, my family is very diverse. I have family members that are Christians. Some are even Catholic. You know, some don't even go to church or, you know, worship anything. You know, but I think, you know, each person, as long as you have a belief in the supreme being that's up there that guides you, you know, to empower you every day and protect you, as long as you believe that, I think that that's very important. If you don't, then that's just foolish, you know. But for me, you know, my enlightenment, you know, I found within myself. I didn't find it within four walls. You know, I took upon it. I read the Bible. I read the Quran. I read the Maccabees. I read the Torah, you know, and I sought truth within myself, not from a pastor or a minister or even from my parents, you know, just because of how it was presented to me. And, you know, the one thing that, you know, I really had a problem with was the way that things transpired in a lot of those different places. It was different things that, you know, I didn't agree with, so I sought upon answers within myself, and I made my what I felt was my best decision based upon that, you know, because you can easily follow the devil and not even realize it. The devil has no power. He just presents things in a manner that it looks so easy, you know, it looks so good, you know. Nobody makes you do wrong, you know. He just makes it look good, you know, and will tempt you to it. But if you're wise enough, and we all know how to decipher the difference between right or wrong, then, you know, you're able to make the right decision. So, I mean, I sought those answers within myself, and I'm not perfect. You know, I'm not impervious to mistakes. I make mistakes like everyone else. I just learn from them, you know, and I definitely believe that there's a higher power that's there, you know, but I'm an advocate for, you know, doers. You know, I can't follow someone that's standing up on, you know, a pedestal and telling me to come into the church, and I'm seeing all of the things that's going on when these people leave outside of that church, those people going home to poverty, and he's living up in a nice house. You know, I don't believe in that, you know, nor do I support that. And in congregations, I wouldn't see things even in my own family members' churches, you know, and it made me a certain way as far as things, because I don't believe that, you know, because coming from, my mom is probably like one of the biggest givers I know on the planet, and she has a big heart, you know, and she's always, you know, was the type of person that's given. And in the churches that I went to, you know, and like I said, these were family, you know, churches, they would say, okay, well, you know, don't focus on the pastor, you're supposed to come here and focus on the worship. And I'm like, I'm seeing people giving their last. I knew this lady, Miss Ruth, rest in peace. She would give her last, you know, but yet, and I've been to a house, had no food in the refrigerator, barely had furniture, you know, walked to church every day, you know, and even when they had vans and shuttles and stuff, you know, they would sit there and whine and gripe about even trying to pick certain people up. I don't think that those types of things are right, you know, so it was things like that that kind of turned me away from certain things, so I sought to choose within myself, you know, and I said that the best thing for me to do, and I agree with, you know, what my other queen was saying is, you know, to find it within yourself, you know, and do good deeds within yourself. And that's what I do. You know, I attend the mosque, but I make a lot to myself. You know, that's a church that is everywhere. I don't have to drive to get to it. I can wake up to it because it's within me. You know, I know when I kneel down and I submit unto his will that I'm in his presence and he's within me. That's what's important to me. A lot of times in churches, you know, even in a mosque, we focus on, you know, whether it's the, you know, the pastor speaking, or we put too much emphasis on them. And a lot of times they're paraphrasing the word. And if you're there to hear the word, I don't want to hear somebody paraphrasing the word. I want to hear the exact word. If you're meant to teach me the word, then teach me the word. I don't want to hear what you're saying. You know, I want to hear what the word is, you know. And I think, you know, that in itself as well, you know, kind of you know, made me a certain way as well. And I've always been the type of person to kind of challenge things and learn things on my own. Like I said, I've read the Bible. And I think a lot of times, a lot of these places, and even within the mosque, you know, a lot of times people don't truly follow the things that they're actually practicing. Because if you're actually practicing, you know, what you're preaching, then you wouldn't be doing things in a manner. Because I think the other brother was talking about, you know, as far as finance and things like that, it's not about money. You know, and even though they have In God We Trust on money, this society that we live in was based off corruption from day one. So, you know, I don't even know why they even had that on a dollar bill, because if that was the case, then all the schools and everything would be about religion, but that's not the case. They actually shun that away, you know, from those places. But I strongly believe that we all have to have a belief in something. You know, as long as it's something that is righteous, you know, I support that. But like I said, me personally, you know, I believe that the Most High guides me every day. He makes sure I'm all right. He makes sure my son is all right and that things in my life is all right. You know, and I don't have to necessarily pay a tithe for that. I pay my tithe by doing good deeds, you know, and supporting and helping my people if I'm in a position to help, because that's what, you know, the prophets actually did. They actually went out and they helped people. You know, they didn't say come into this place, put your money into this place, you know, and then there's no reciprocation of helping, you know, because that's what it's about. If everybody is helping, then I don't have no problem with that. But if I'm going to this institution, then this institution is not helping me by strengthening me through my faith, through teaching, you know, be it whatever crises that I face, because if the church faces a crisis, you want my help to actually help the church. But if I face a crisis, you're not there to help me through my crisis, then I have a problem with that.
Right.
You know, because everywhere that, you know, Yeshua, you call him Jesus, but, you know, everywhere that Jesus walked, he helped people. You know, he helped people. You know what I'm saying? He didn't say, okay, I'm only going to help these people and not help, you know, these people over here. He helps everyone. There's not a verse or a chapter anywhere where he said he didn't help anyone. You know, the only thing that he would say is don't speak about it.
That's the truth. And the other thing about with Jesus, he never really looked upon, because you had Mary Magdalene that, you know, used to be, you know, quote unquote, you know, a prostitute, but at the end of the day, you know, he forgives her, and he loved her just like any other person, you know, so he didn't really judge. But, you know, we get so caught up in high society and being sociable and stuff like that and trying to put people in classifications when really,
yeah,
you know, that doesn't really matter when it comes to, you know, finding your spirituality. Swag, talk to us, but I'm going to go ahead and bring my boy Bugsy on the line because I know he's listening. What up, Bugsy? What's up, Peace King?
What's going on, Ma? Salute. What's good, genius?
What's good, man?
Ain't nothing, man. Getting ready for the game, man. A little late, but you know, I had to come in and show that love.
You know, you better salute these ladies that's on the line, like Ebony.
Yeah,
and
big up to all the queens. Big up to all the queens.
Oh, I didn't know we had a full panel tonight. What's going
love
on?
Love and blessings to all the queens.
yeah, salute all the queens on the panel. Definitely, definitely. Like I said, I'm tuning in late.
You're stepping into a queen kingdom, and you know you have to acknowledge us.
Oh, going on, Emma. Salute, Emma. Yeah, what's going on? Everybody in here tonight. Okay, we got anything on tonight. What's going on?
We talking about this holy humble, man, and talking about people's, you know, spiritual walks, but we're going to go into Swag and then you, Swag. You know,
yeah,
your spiritual walk, man. Talk to us, man. Let us know, man. Share your story.
It's real, you know, like, I relate to a lot of things, you know what I mean, Genius was saying, because I went through a crazy walk from, like, every, you know, I went through basically, like, every religion, you know what I mean, and, like, not just, like, the surface of the religion, but, like, actually going in depth in the religion, you know what I mean, like, he was talking about, you know, making salat within yourself, you know what I mean, it's like, you know, form of making prayer to, you know, within self and not having to go outside, and I could relate to that as well. But what I wanted to say about that topic is that it's interesting because, you know, if you the perspective to look at things from, and this is very interesting if you do this, if you look at, just imagine if Jesus was here right now, right? Just imagine how the people would treat him. So it's like when you look at religion, like in the sense that it is now, religion actually didn't even exist back then. You know what I mean? Most of the stuff you look at it is A.D. It's not B.C. It wasn't like around Christ's time or before Christ. Most of these religions that they created was they had an idea.
400 years after it.
You know what I'm saying? Right. They had that's 325 years A.D. the Nicene Council. But what I'm saying is that when you start thinking about these religions and why they're created, you see like the Jehovah's Witness, right? Now, the thing about them is that they actually go out and do the works, but people don't, a lot of times, don't even want to listen. My thing is I accept truth no matter where it's coming from. And a lot of times, you may not like Jehovah's Witness, but a lot of times they actually deliver in the truth of the Bible. You know what I'm saying? So what I'm saying is that, you know, a lot of people say, oh, you know, it's crime in the neighborhood, this and that. But, yeah, you can take on some water, we can't make them drink. You know what I mean? Like, it's only but so much you can really do before, you know, people just disrespect you and say, yo, if you don't get out of my face with that, it's going to be problems. So you have to look at it from that perspective as well. But as far as the topic in general, as far as finance is concerned, you know, a lot of people are in it with that intention to get rich. You know what I mean? Like, a lot of people are there. They may have been economic majors or whatever, but they're there to make money. You know what I'm saying? For themselves. They don't even care about making money for the church. They really care about, you know, that's their motive, is to make money for themselves and to generate, you know, a future for themselves. So you got to look at that too. What makes people think that there's corrupt people in all other different walks of life, but in religion it doesn't exist? That's where it exists the most. Because it's easier to hide behind the Bible or even in Islam, you know what I mean? Every religion, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's a lot of corruption in all these religions, and that's where it starts. You know, like Genius said, you got a lot of people that are in these religions, and they're not there for those purposes. So you have to understand a person's motive. Why are they there? They're not doing the deeds, so why are they even present? They're there because they want to, you know, they want to make their little profit and run at the end of the day. And whoever want to get down with them, they're willing to work with them and build. You know, so, you know, the whole religion and politics, the way that they, you know, the way that they work together is very interesting as well. You know what I mean? You got to really look at the structure of, like, even this particular government. Because Christianity in other countries is different from Christianity here. You know, because we have the society, the monetary society that has an influence on the church. So those are things got to be looked at as well, you know what I mean? And then you got racism. I mean, it's just so many different issues that you have to deal with when you go into the whole topic of the church. So I mean, you know, basically when all is said and done,
we're gonna go more into that. But I want to know your personal journey, Swag. Your personal journey to you know, where everybody said your personal journey though. In regards to, you know, your personal journey that defines your spiritual home.
I mean, my personal journey that defines my spiritual home is going from the you know, the macrocosm to the microcosm. In simpler terms, basically me being a raindrop of the Most High. And it's to study all of the things within me and to study the things that I would like to be, which is the perfected state. You know, some call, you know, the Allah, the All, you know what I mean, the Supreme Being. That's my journey, is just studying, mastering myself. That's what my journey is. And in doing that, there's nothing but good to come out of it. There's nothing but righteousness. Those are the 99 attributes that they talk about. Everything good is there. That's my journey. Love, peace, and happiness.
That's the truth.
Yeah.
And I want to speak on this. As one has received it, a gift, minister it to one another, and good stewards of the mindful grace of God, Peter 4:10. When you know God's grace, you will want to show God's grace. So if you know God in yourself, you will want to minister that to somebody else also, and show the love. Go out in the streets and go out there and help one another. Help thy neighbor. Help thy friend, thy mother, thy father. Help. Go out there and take that knowledge that you have and give it to somebody else.
you know, and the only way that makes you justified to be a person of God is a person that has a good heart, one that qualifies, the one quality that God looks for his helpers is a person that has a good heart that's willing to serve him. So, you know, basically, you have to know it in your heart first. You got to know it in your heart first, and I'm going to go ahead and go into Bugsy in a second, but I'm going to tell y'all guys my spiritual journey. You know, I'm Nigerian. I'm African. Majority of Nigeria is either divided with either Muslim, which are Sunni, mostly Sunni Muslims, or Christian. Yeah. You know, and basically they're based off of mostly the Catholic Church, because they were they're based off the Catholic Church and stuff if they're Christians or on that side. And then so I was kind of split between, because my mom went to Catholic Church, but her family was basically Muslim. And then, you know, my father was a strict Muslim, and my grandmother was. So I went to the mosque. You know, I did Salat, you know. You know, I learned the Surah to the Nas and all that. I read the Quran, you know, and, you know, I read the Torah, and I read the Bible, and, you know, and then I even studied other religions like Hindu and stuff, you know, with Shiva and all the different things. And I'm like, you know, if you study all of the books and everything like that, at the end of the day, you realize that majority of them are all similar, you know. Mm-hmm. And if they do state that we are all the children of God, then why aren't we worshiping together? And then I have another gripe. When you start studying history and things like that, African-American slaves and minorities that were stolen from Africa, brought here, were forced and beaten and forced to study Christianity and the Bible, or they were going to get killed, or their parents, their children were going to get raped or sold away and things like that. So you put a religion as a form of control. And I honestly myself see myself as more of a spiritual person, because at the end of the day, religion, did we define religion? Religion is a form of control, divide and conquer. How can we kind of be superior to other people because of religion? Even if you look at, I don't like really making references to movies, but look at the movie, The Book of Eli. This guy was blind, okay, at the end of the movie. He was blind. And basically, that book was so powerful because people search and hope for a thing of faith, something they can believe in, to give them motivation every day to keep on living. That's why we have faith. Faith can be so powerful, and it can, and if somebody gets their hands on it, it can be a form of control. So divide and conquer, you know, religion. But back in the day, as he stated before, Swag, there was no religion. This was a culture, your spirituality. This was what you were, you know. So born into the Muslim, you know, culture, you know, we did the Ramadan and everything like that. So that was what I was used to. But, you know, it wasn't something like, oh, it was my choice. I was forced to wake up and go and do this all the time, take my shoes off, go to the mosque, do the Salat, you know what I'm saying, Bismillah, Qalani Rahim, Maliki Yomi Din, all that, you know what I mean? Do all that, you know what I'm saying, each and every, you know, time we had to do it, pray five times a day on my prayer rug, you know, and have my prayer bead and do all that. But, you know, we were born into the Orthodox Muslims, and the crazy thing, I was kind of twisted, because you have such a separation when it comes to the Muslim culture also, because you have the Nation of Islam, which is a breakdown from Sunni Muslims. You get 5%ers, which is another breakdown from that. So it's like, I started getting confused, you know, because I'm like, why? I never seen people with bow ties and bean pies and all that stuff, you know, because I'm from Africa. I didn't know all of that. So it was weird to me, because I felt like it was another form of breaking down and watered down of the so-called whatever religion they state. But then again, my mother also took me to church, so I also was able to see that you got some churches that are very strict and follow the Catholic rule, you know, and then you got some church that did the Pentecostals. You know, when I first saw somebody speaking in tongues and having the Holy Ghost, I almost passed the hell out, because I thought it was something crazy. the lady started bucking like a chicken, and all that. I said, what is this? I don't know what this is. And I started freaking out myself. So, I mean, I didn't understand the whole sense of the Holy Ghost and stuff. So I started being more inquisitive and trying to find out, okay, you got all these different religions, and we separate ourselves because if you actually look at the Bible, and then another thing I had a problem with, King James version of the Bible.
Oh,
King James,
man.
King James was a tyrant and killed many people in his time, but he was the king at the time, but yet you make a Bible, and the Bible actually has so many different versions of it, and the actual Bible, as they say that it was written in the Ten Commandments in Hebrew, who actually knows the original language of Hebrew, and that's the crazy thing about me. Everything is so questionable when it comes to religion, but at the end of the day, an individual must know their own faith, their own individuality. There is no middle person to take you to that higher level. Wherever you feel like if you're going to be reincarnated, if you're going to descend up to heaven, whatever you believe in, you have to know that yourself. But at the end of the day, you must try yourself to live as righteous as possible. You know, I know so many people that said they've been saved, they've been baptized, dumped in the holy water, but yet you're out there sinning and doing all kinds of stuff. You're molested, but you're saved. Being saved doesn't save you from being a sinner. You understand what I'm saying? And the crazy thing about it is sometimes people just wrap themselves and cover themselves in this cloth like they're invisible because they have this so-called religion. But where's your true spirituality and faith and your spiritual level when it comes to that higher power? So as I grew older, I realized I cannot be part of a religion. I'm spiritual. I am a reader of all books because all of the books actually have bits and pieces of the same thing. And the thing about it is that we're all the children of God, so we should be worshiping together. The only reason why they created religion was to divide us. Now we're having holy wars, and people are killing each other because you're a Jew, you know what I'm saying? You're Palestine, you're this, you're that, and you're killing each other. For what? Why? You know? It's crazy, you know? It's psychotic. I think it's insane. But, you know, I myself feel like Emma says, maybe it might even be a Pisces thing. I don't know. But we go out every day and we try to just, you know, not to discriminate against other signs, but, you know, it might be a Pisces thing. But we go out and we actually go in the streets. We are the foot soldiers of that holy power. We go out there and we surround ourselves with more foot soldiers and we try to help people. Even if we come out of our pocket, we'll give you your last. We try to support people and help people every single day. That's how our blessings come. And we don't ask for nothing. All we ask is that you pay in full and help somebody else. Help somebody else out there that needs help other than yourself. Mm-hmm. When's the last time people have helped somebody else other than themselves? That's true righteousness. When you're able to pass that help, that selflessness of yourself to somebody else, and they're able to learn from that and help somebody else down the road. That's your gift right there because you're passing that on. But you know enough about me. I'm going to go to Bugsy. Bugsy, talk to us about your spiritual walk, camping.
Yeah, I see everybody got their hats on tonight, man, thinking caps. But me personally, I mean, I did my church thing as a kid with my grandmother and things like that. But after a certain while, like, I really ain't stepping to the house, but, you know, I keep the man with me every day, you know. Ain't no escaping him, man, you know. So I'm at one with him, I feel, you know what I mean? I talk to him without having to go down there, you know. Whenever I feel like I got to have that convo, I have that convo. And, like, as far as, like, giving, like, word, I wouldn't say I give the word. Like, 9 times out of 10, like, if I hear something or somebody say something and it's just, like, that really makes sense. So, like, I say it to the way they can understand without coming off as them really catching on to the words that I'm saying, and they'd be like, man, I don't want to hear that. So I say it to flip it around to where they'll listen, and then they'll take heed, and they'll be like, you know what, maybe you write your think on. So, you know what I mean, I take my personal experiences, you know, I done been through some things, you know what I mean, so I try to keep, you know, a couple other people from going through the same path. It's like, if I can go through it to succeed, I can keep going down that road because I already know what it's like. So if I can get you to do something different, I'm definitely going to try to give you the knowledge that I got. And if you take heed, then we're going to move together If you don't, then I'm sorry for you. I warned you, so after that happened, hold on, you ready?
That's what it is. We're talking about the spiritual journey, man, the spiritual journey out here, man. Street Queens, the movement, man. We getting deep out here, man. Calling at 347-826-7722. We got the ladies and we got the kings live on the line. And salute to our girl Ashley. Ashley said that, you know, she loves us queens and everything. She just grinding, trying to get that dollar and doing. And we pray for her that she does everything abundantly that she wants to do and stuff like that. So she told me to shout you guys out, queens and stuff. Ashley, Miss Photographic. That does the graphics
Ashley,
and stuff.
We love you, Ashley.
Yeah, and definitely shout out to Natalia. She said she might be coming in soon. She said it's a graduation and it's crazy, and she's out there waitressing. So we pray that she comes here, you know what I'm saying, and she gets that money that she wants out there. Shout out to Natalia. We love you too, boo. You know what I'm saying? And you know what? Go ahead, Ashley.
I said, no, we love our Colombian princess.
Yes, we do. We love her to death. Definitely, we love her to death. And when Swag was talking about, you know, in regards to, you know, the man-made situation, like, you know, we talk about religion and you know, having debates about religion, because some people, when you question them, why is this way? Oh, because the Bible said it is. Okay, what makes you say the Bible is everything in there is true? Oh, because the Bible says it is. Okay, you just believe that, or that's what you were trained and that was passed on to you? Or do you honestly feel that there's evident fact that that's true? You know?
Well, if you don't know. If you don't know the author, then you don't know what you're reading. And I try to tell everybody, I mean, you don't even have to listen to me. I tell people to seek, you know, the knowledge upon themselves to research things. You know, if you go to the Old Testament, they'll actually learn how to speak Hebrew. Learn how to speak Amharic, which is one of the oldest languages on earth. You know, one of the fallacies was that they tried to use Latin to translate Hebraic and Amharic text, which is impossible. So what they did is wrote what they thought they meant. But at the same time, 64 people wrote about the same thing. So there is truth. So no matter what religion you have, like I think you were saying before, Les, you know, if you read all of these different books, there are a lot of similarities because these were actual events that transpired. Even in the King James Version of the Bible that has 5 books missing, you know, it still has some of that truth. What he tried to do, which he didn't fully succeed, is because he was king, he had the original books burned and tried to have it suited to his name because he couldn't rewrite it. So he hired people like Shakespeare and a list of others to actually rewrite some of those texts to suit his needs at the time. But if you learn the history of King James, he was a sodomite. You know, he slept with his own sister, his own mother.
Yeah.
He killed people
yeah.
and did a lot of wrong, you know, but yet this is what you're supposed to be following. So you have to know what you're following, and these are some of the things they don't teach in the churches. It's one thing to just teach the word, but know where that word came from. Christianity,
yeah.
for instance, it was founded 400 years after the death of Christ, and on no book on earth actually does it tell you that you're supposed to even call yourself a Christian. You know,
right.
But I tell people that these are things you're supposed to learn, even with the Quran. You know, these are things like some people say you shouldn't talk about religion and politics, but you should. You're supposed to question and challenge those things because these are the things that give you enlightenment, to help you to know. If you don't seek it, then how can you find it?
Right. See,
you have to
too,
seek it.
That's right. The thing is, too, Genius, is that you know, you got to understand that knowledge wasn't readily available like it is. See, we living in an information age right now. Like,
it was readily available, but you had the Vatican at that time who, like, I say this, and this is easy to figure out. If you want the greatest followers, whether it's for war or for anything, or even for peace, you're going to do it through religion. And the Vatican realized these things. So they used religion as a form of control, as Lush said. And they made changes to suit it. Even the day of worship, if you actually define Sabbath, okay, into English, it's not Sunday, okay? even the day, our calendar is not even correct, which is why in Africa the calendar is different than it is here and even in other places. But you have to learn these things. You have to seek to actually discover these things because they don't want you to know these types of things.
Right, see,
it's a form of control.
Right. See, but the simple fact that you said that the Vatican control and the popes at that day and time control that, that right there tells you that's not readily available. You know what I'm saying? That information, like the books that were taken out of the Bible, the Dead Sea Scrolls, or even some of the books that were tampered with and taken out of the Quran. You know what I mean? What I'm trying to say is that this certain knowledge, they hold it back from you. You know what I mean? Because
they killed the people if they had them. That's
right,
what they did.
See, you got to also understand the world domination, the world control. That's why when she said, what's my spiritual journey, there's really no clear answer for that. Because I study every religion. It doesn't matter what religion it was. That's all I used to do. I'm 30. When I was 16, I started studying religion, 16. And I went through every one of them, Scientology, everything, 5%, everything. Whatever you want to talk about, we could go there and in depth with it. So we talk about the Vatican. Who is the Vatican? What is the Vatican? What are they hiding? What are the secrets about Jesus that we never knew? You know what I mean? There's several books that I have in my rest. I'm willing to lend out some to any about the real. It's called, well, there's one called the Real 12 Disciples, and it talks about finance and how the church is harnessing that money to do certain things to, you know, get to usher in this new world order that's based on money and control. So that knowledge is not there. It's just like if you work for a company, they're not going to tell you the company secrets unless you're a part of that board. If you're not part of the board and you're not one of the big shareholders, you're not going to know certain things about that company. So the same thing applies with religion. You know what I mean? They know certain things. They understand certain things, and then there's masonry in there, too. They know certain things that they're not going to reveal to you, and they're under oath. If they reveal certain knowledge, then they're going to automatically cut the ties with these people. So, you know, they're by contract. They can't say certain things. So when you talk about Christianity and how it started, and it's 325 years after the death of Christ, the Nicene Council sat down and said, we have to come up with a way to control these damn people because they're getting outrageous. You know, and then you got, like, people like Constantine that came in, you know, these strong Roman emperors that threatened people to study this religion.
Right.
If you're not Christian, we're going to kill you, hunt you down. So, you know, in today's time, what I meant by this knowledge is openly, readily available, we didn't have computers back then. We didn't have Google where you could tap into a website and it goes to a web server and it gives you all the information back. You didn't have that. You know, to gain, even if you look 30, 40 years ago, you know, our parents and grandparents, they didn't have access to the knowledge that we had. You can get any kind of knowledge now. You can find out the origin of the Bible, and it's not in Hebrew. You know what I'm saying? It was actually a Shurik. Like, it wasn't even Hebrew.
What I mean by that is, and this is one of the problems, like Lux touched on it, you know, as far as going back to the slavery times, the slaves, when they were brought here, they were stripped of their culture.
Right.
Stripped of their beliefs. None of them were Christians. Not one of them were Christians. And these were things that were forced upon them. But there are some of us, you know, like me personally, you know, I come from a cultural backing. And it's through these things that these things are passed on from generation to generation so that it is available. Not everyone, like, and I understand, not everyone readily has that access, but that doesn't mean that they can't access it.
That's true. The truth is always there. You know. If the truth has never gone off the face of the planet Earth, it's just, you know, where you could reach, stick your hand out and grab it.
The thing about it, though, guys, is the fact that we have the World Wide Web. You can't have the World Wide Web. You know what I'm saying? The World Wide Web stays there for plenty and plenty of years. Now, with the books and the scrolls and everything like that, they can get rid of that and hide that because nobody is seeking the knowledge. Only a few people speak up when it comes to that situation. But, you know, just like you guys read, when I read the books and stuff, I realized that there's chapters and different things missing in here. So, but at the same time, if you read, I implore everybody, I don't care what religion you are, pick up a Torah, pick up a Quran, pick up a Bible, and you will see the similarity, okay? Majority of the books have a similarity to the Jesus that they call the Jesus in the book, okay? Every one of those books has something, a similarity, somebody that's either compared to a Jesus, even in Hindu also. So, I mean, there's so many different things. And also, when you go and you question the whole thing of Christmas, that's a whole nother different story, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So, the day he rose, he died,
the birth of him.
Yeah, that's not,
you know,
even right.
all that stuff like that is a whole, it's a whole big fraudulent story if you really read into it. But I'm not going to mess it up for the people that are like so into, you know what I'm saying, into the whole Christmas thing and everything like that. Because real talk, Christmas is like a pagan holiday. Real talk.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the thing about it is that in order for you to find out this information, we must seek this knowledge.
Look for it. Right.
We got to look for it. We got to seek this knowledge out here because, real talk, people have been lying to us for years and years.
Right.
But we have been conformed and live a systematic life every single day that we feel like this is the norm, this is what we have to do. But, you know, like me and Emma and all of us on the line, we don't sit there and settle for what you tell us is right. We're going to seek our own right and figure out what's really going on. You can't put no wool over our eyes out here because it's not a game. And the knowledge that we know, we're going to tell and give other people. But I want you guys, if you guys have some books out there that you want these that you want the listeners to go check out in regards to checking out different religions and also to check out about, you know, things that they might want to find out there. Guys, you want to throw some books out there? I'm going to start with Emma. I'm going to start with the ladies first. Emma, you got some books you want to throw out there for the people that you might want them to pick up or something like that?
The Bible. It's simple. The Bible. I mean, because any book you're going to read is going to refer to that or to the Quran or to the main book. So you go straight, you know, leave the middleman out and just go straight to the top. Go straight to all the Bibles of all religions. Everything is there. Everything is there.
That's what it is. Ebony, you got a book out there for the people to check out?
Well, I suggest, like, what the Kings were saying. Get them all. Pick them all up. You know, take the time in and learn all the religion. You can see whether the religion works best for you. But in the end, it's about your personal relationship with your higher power. How do you feel? When do you know that Jesus is actually, or your higher power is actually there? You know what I'm saying? Have you ever felt the spirituality? Have you felt the Holy Ghost? Have you felt his presence there? You know what I'm saying? Because that's not something that you can fake. Regardless of whatever you're being taught, if you know your higher power and you can feel his presence and you have a relationship with him personally, then, you know, you have to pray about it. I think you need to pray about it and you need to seek knowledge for yourself, basically, you know, because just on religion alone is a heated subject, you know,
mm-hmm.
And it shouldn't even be like that because we should be sharing knowledge, not that I believe so this is right and you believe so that's, you know what I'm saying, because I don't believe
mm-hmm.
what you believe, then your belief is wrong, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We all need to share together what we
mm-hmm.
know. And see what best fits us and our lifestyles. Because honestly, to tell you the truth, I did read the Quran. You know, I was thinking because it changed one of my friends who was very loosely in the streets. I'm talking about every weekend she was bringing a different man to her home, you know, and she had 6 kids already. You know, I saw when she started studying the Quran how more of it was more of a cultural thing. It was a spiritual thing to her as well as a cultural thing because there's certain things that you do and there's certain things that you can't do. With Christianity,
mm-hmm.
It's really not a culture. It's more of something that you just you go, you fellowship and it's just there. But with the Quran and other religions, it's more of a cultural thing. They were born into this, and it's a cultural, you know. So it changed her whole lifestyle. And because I physically saw the change in her lifestyle, it made me want to search out and see what it was that she was doing. Had she been a Christian and just changed, you know, and changed things, and, you know, because simple fact is that, you know, being in a church and seeing different things and going to the Baptist and going to a Pentecostal, you see different things. You learn different things, you see different things. And when I saw that cultural change and how she changed her whole lifestyle, it made me want to know what it was that she was doing. And I started studying
mm-hmm.
it as well.
You
know, so it's just about
what
works best for you and whatever higher power you believe in. But don't, you know, just do not say, I'm a Christian, so I can't read the Holy Quran. Don't look at it, even with the Mormons. The Mormons come and knock your door down, you know, and they want to teach you what their beliefs is. They believe that there's a church with 12 apostles here on this earth right now, you know, and these people walk around with smiles on their face. Is there anything I can do to help you? I don't have Christians knocking on my door asking me this thing. You know what I'm saying? So it's about the interpretation of what you want out of the religion that you're actually going to go to as well. You know, who reaches out to you? Is it more readily because the Mormons come and knock on your door and you study with them and they want to teach you their religion and make sure that you understand what their beliefs is? Is that better than the Christianity because the Christianities don't knock on your door? It's all about your interpretation and what you want. And if you have your own solid relationship with your higher power, don't be afraid. Just because you have your solid foundation with your higher power, to open up a book and read on something else, just to widen your education and broaden your horizon with other religions that's out there. Because just because you are a Christian, you were born that way. You were born and you were taught that way. You know, don't be afraid to look at someone else's religion and open up and broaden your horizon.
Stop trying to separate yourself because, oh, she's a Jew. I don't care if you're a Jew or not. And the crazy thing about it, most of the people that you say, because let me tell you, Jewish people, it was a culture.
They're not even the real Jews.
They're not real Jews. All these people that they say they're Jewish are watered down. They're not real Jews. And there's no way you can convert to be a Jew. You were born a Jew. Okay?
Exactly.
It was a culture. It was not something you can convert to. So I don't even understand how you can convert to something that you are. It doesn't make sense.
Right.
No?
Right.
So, you know, that's the crazy thing about it. And you know, it's sad to say that, you know, a lot of people are, like, misled into different things, you know, and a lot of stuff, you know, a lot of the people that are born, the original language, you know what I'm saying, was a whole nother deep language that most people that are on earth cannot even speak, you know? So the crazy thing about it is that, you know, a lot of people are kind of like misled when it comes to things like that. You know, Genius, you want to throw a book out there for the people to look at and stuff like that? You want to throw a book out?
I'm going to say this. Like Emma said, she said to read the Bible, but I say this, no matter what book it is, I mean, me being a Muslim, but even in that, in the Quran, it tells you to read the Bible. Any book that you pick up, what I say is actually learn the history of the people within that book and the stories within that book so that you're actually learning. Don't just read the Bible, because some people actually just read a passage or something like that, you know, and they think that that's fine. But you want to know about what you're reading. And the more you know about that, then the more you understand it. So know about the people that's in the book and what it was derived from. And that in itself, the truth, which nobody can teach you the truth because it's already inside of you. Nobody teaches you how to see. Nobody teaches you how to smell. Those blessings are all placed upon us. That is the perfection of the Most High. That's already given inside of you. We seek everywhere else for answers that already lie within us. We already know what's right and what's wrong. So whatever book you pick up, just learn, you know what I'm saying, about that book. Don't just read it, but study it and study the people that's in it and know the history of it. And then, you know, that enlightenment is there. It's already within you. By doing that, it'll actually open it up and bring brightness to your life. You know, so that's what I'll say. I'm not going to say a particular book. Just know and understand what you're reading.
Allahu Akbar, that's what it is, man, for real. That's what it is. And my boy over there, Swag,
yeah.
You got some books out there to throw out to the people?
You know it. I'm a big reader. I'm a big reader. The first book I would say to read is The Science of Love, which is written by John Payne. You know what I mean? The book basically breaks down how to love yourself and how to love others. And how to love, you know, how to have genuine love and not love based on I love this person because, you know, I'm being narcissistic and I love the qualities of myself in this person. So The Science of Love is the first one, definitely.
Yeah.
The second one I would
The second one, I was, and that taught, also, let me just mention this as a side note. That is the book that taught me how to love a woman.
Ooh.
That's the book that will open up your third eye if it's closed. So that's the first one is The Science of Love. The second one is The Secret Science, which is the same author, John Baines.
Yeah, definitely.
The same author. And the third book I would say is a dynamic powerhouse book. If you want to talk about if being at the topic is religion and money and politics, the third book would be Blacked Out Through Whitewash. You can search for it online. You could probably find it on Amazon. They're definitely not going to sell this particular book in Barnes & Noble's or any of these other Borders or any stores like that. They're definitely not going to sell that book there. But it's a powerhouse book, and it goes into every religion, and it talks about the Egyptian culture and how they were loving and based on peace, and it even gives you a basis of how to decipher some of the hieroglyphics. So it's a real good book.
Yeah, you can get that in PDF online if you actually Google it. You can get it for free if you actually Google it. You can get the PDF format of that, and that is a good book.
Right. So that's a good one. Definitely, like Emma said and like Gina said, definitely read the Bible and understand that one. Understand that you're reading, you know, a lot of books combined into one. The Old Testament as one portion, which the Jews study, which is the Torah, and then the Injil or the New Testament that's studied by, you know, the Christians and, you know, all other, you know, walks of life. But I would study some books on Hinduism, Buddhism to see, you know, the correlation to Christianity or the Judeo-Christian religion. But another good book in this day and time is definitely The 48 Laws of Power by Robert Greene. You know, gives you a historical perspective on how the power structures of the world, how they've come to be what they are. And another one is The 33 Strategies of War. And I'm going to stop, but if y'all want me, I can keep going. There's also
Sun Tzu, the Art of War.
You can read, I mean, 33 Strategies to me is really taken, it really has the Art of War beat. I think he actually surpassed that book in the 33 Strategies of War. But the Art of War is a very good book as well, you know. But the Soul on Ice is a very good book by Eldridge Cleaver. He used to be a Black Panther, and he talks about the changing of our society into more of a bourgeoisie, you know, society, and, you know, the right wing and all of that. He talks about that as being a struggling black man that worked his way up. So it's a real good book, you know.
That's what's up. I think with Emma and the ladies and stuff, I like Ebony said, that we had a gentleman the other day who has a book. I think we're going to start doing like Ebony said the other day on Wednesday, because we do Let's Talk About Business. I think we're going to do like a book reading and stuff. So we can actually like discuss like, you know, little snippets of the book. So if you can get like that book that you just talked about, the one about what was the was it 20 some levels of power?
48 Laws of Power.
Yeah.
Which one?
I think, yeah,
48 Laws of Power by Robert Greene.
Yeah, if we I want to like try to see if we can fit that in next week with next week's show. Maybe you could come in swag and maybe read maybe a couple of chapters for us so we can discuss it next week or so.
Oh,
ladies, how y'all feel about that? How y'all feel about that, ladies? I mean, and my president, Miss Emma. 48
Laws of Power, you said?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Would like,
okay, I got that.
Book, girl,
I got that book. I got it.
Yeah.
I got it ready.
Okay, so he's going to, like, read, like, different chapters, like key points in the book. Swag is going to read key points in the book, like, next week. And we're going to have a forum discussion about it and see people's feedback on how they feel about the different stuff. We're going to have a book.
I'm ordering Science of Love right now through Barnes & Noble's.
That's
me. Because, you know, I'm going to give that book away to a lot of brothers for Christmas, so I got a load of them.
Yeah, you know, they got to be motivated to read it. I mean, it's a really good book, you know, definitely a good book, and it brings you a lot of peace in your life. But the 48 Laws of Power is a book I study. I mean, I know all the laws from the first, you know, law to the 48th law, you know, first law, never outshine the master, to the, you know, to the last law, never pitch you perfect. And, you know, basically, you know, I've had dialogues about this book. I've had debates about the book. So if anybody, you know, want to, you know, try to challenge, I'm up for it. I love it.
Oh, no, I'm kidding you with that.
I love it.
So we got to come in. Genius and swag. I just like when they come in and get into their philosophical moments and stuff. You know, so this is going to be crazy. This is going to be crazy next week. So make sure you bring your thinking cap on next week because we're going to be talking about, you know what I'm saying, the laws of alpha. You know what I'm saying? So make sure you bring your pen in the pad because it's going on next week. So, I mean, these are some real books. Can you go down the list again about the books once again, Swag, for the people that don't know, again, for the books to pick up and let them know once again for the ones to jot them down?
Okay. Yeah, so starting from the top, the first book that I mentioned was The Secret Science, and the author is John Baines. And then the second book that I mentioned was the first love was the science of, the first book was The Science of Love, and the second book I mentioned was The Secret Science. The first book, the Science of Love, like I said, breaks down, you know, it's very, very, very interesting, and, you know, it's easy to read. You know, you might have to have a little dictionary on the side. I mean, being honest, you know what I mean? Like, even if your vocabulary is good, there's some words in there that you'll be like, what? Man, I read that in the first year of college. So it's, you know, it breaks down, you know, the science of relationships and how to, you know, truly, deeply love. And then the second one is The Secret Science, and it breaks down, you know, the seven hermetic principles and stuff like that. Then the third one that I mentioned is Blacked Out, The Whitewash. Like I said, and like Genius said as well, you can search for it and you can get the e-book online for free. That's what I mean. This is what I mean, Gene, about readily available. You couldn't do this 400 years ago. You get your head chopped off. Even now, I got to be careful because they're coming after me. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they had to hide them. I mean, what they used to do back in the day is they used to actually have, you know, what has become churches now, they used to have congregations and caves and villages where they would have secret meetings and teach. You know.
Even the religion, though, even now, I'm talking about surpassing religion. Because, see, even religion is limited. You know what I mean? Because you're talking about a God, but you don't have no identity for this God. So I can't move with you like that. You know, like you start talking about, oh, yeah, God, you know, he's a merciful. How you, hold on, where you get he from? He is a pronoun that describes a male. So how we even know we're talking about a male when life comes from the woman? So hold on for a second. You know what I mean? So I ain't dealing with the religious thing, you know what I mean? And I'm real talk.
Well, see,
you know?
That was something else. That was something else, Swag, that was changed by the Vatican. You know what I'm saying? Like I said, it was made to suit because they belittled women during that time. So to give it a sense of power, they gave it a male perspective. But the Most High is neither male nor female. To try to sit there and speak upon his knowledge is beyond our comprehension. He's neither a male or a female. You understand?
Right.
Well,
I know y'all real deep, right? Y'all real deep, man. But we got the beautiful and lovely, you know what I'm saying, Spanish mommy that worked her butt off today with them graduating.
I'm tired.
Beautiful Colombian princess. What up, girl?
Hello, my queens and my kings. How we doing?
Jesus, blessings.
Oh, man, thank you. I need all the blessings. I'm still at work. I had to run in the kitchen, run into one of the little the dry storage areas with all the spices so I could call in.
We appreciate that. We definitely appreciate that. We appreciate
you. Not a comment. Support my queens. I love y'all.
We love you, too. We sent you a shout-out earlier and stuff. You know, I was telling them you was at work, you know, getting that bread and stuff. We was praying, you know, that you get the money that you want out there and, you know, you don't work too hard and make sure that man rub them feet, man. You know, stand on them feet, man. For real.
Aw, thank you. Wait, he's definitely going to be rubbing them feet tonight.
Oh, tell him to read. Oh, listen. Oh, tell him to read the book *Science of Love* by John Baines.
I found those names so we can be ready for next week's show.
Yeah, make sure y'all get y'all thinking caps on because next week's show, man, we're gonna be doing a little book reading, man. It's gonna be crazy, man. So make sure you get if you're gonna debate next week. Make sure you bring your facts to back it up because if you Swag and Genius, man, these dudes on point. So make sure you on point if you're going to debate next week. on you know, talking about these laws over there, temping for real. So Natalia, so how do you feel about spirituality and everything like that, you know what I'm saying? How do you feel about, you know, the whole situation, spirituality? How do you feel about it? And religion?
I think it, in a sense, it has kind of died down. I think that a lot more of us have put it on the back burner. And I think that we do definitely need more spirituality in our lives. I personally need to go to church more. I don't think you need to go to church every week to be a spiritual person. But I think it's also a necessity to do it every once in a while. I think that association with the brothers and stuff. I feel like I'm a very spiritual person. I talk to God on a very...
I think people have kind of like shied away and stuff a little bit from religion. Because sometimes we feel like, you know, it's kind of like too much. You know, it feels like it's pressure. I don't know, guys. I mean,
they wait until after tragedies. That's when you hear everyone thinking about thanking God and praying and all that when there's a tragedy. That's when everybody finds God in the midst of tragedies.
That's what I'm saying. But you in trouble. I mean, I done seen so many people calling for God. Oh, Lord, they're going to take my car. Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord, I can't pay my rent. But why don't you thank him when he does the little things for you? You know what I'm saying? Like, we only call God when we need some.
Right.
Why don't we thank him just for the little things, for letting us be able to breathe and wake up the next day to take a ride for us.
Not only that, but then we ready to curse him out when he's not there when we need him. But then again, we only tap into him when we need him. So it's like a catch-22. You know, he's a just God. He's a good God, but he's just as well. And he's going to give you your justice. And he's going to answer when he feels like it, see how you like it.
Because, I mean, there's times I watch when my kids are going to sleep and I'm in their bunk and I'm just looking at them. There's times I cry. And I sit there and I thank God because, you know, I was a child that was on the streets, homeless, running in gangs, robbing folks. I was facing attempted murder at 16. I did so much grimy, bad things that I sit there and I cry to God, like, God, like, I don't know, like, what? Thank you for blessing me with these amazing little girls that are, like, straight A's, well-behaved. Like, I don't know what I did to deserve this. Like, it just shows me that no matter what, he's always going to stand by you. And people always come out like, oh, I pray to God for him to do it. You don't ask, hold on 1 second.
Remember, she's still at
you
the
don't,
job.
Sorry. you don't ask your mom, like, oh, or your parents, I want, you know, a bike. You know, you keep asking your parents. You can't ask God one time for something. There's a scripture in the Bible that, you know, you got to keep asking a supplication, begging him. God's not going to hear you ask for something one time and just grant it to you. He really wants to make sure you want it, and you know that's what you want. So sometimes it just takes... You know, your prayers might not get answered right away, but just keep praying in supplication and keep praying and asking him because, you know, there's parents nowadays, you know, you ain't going to give your kid the, you know, oh, I want an Xbox. That's the first thing he asks. You made that little man ask a few times.
Well, not only what you want, but what you need, you know. It's not always what you want. It's sometimes he sees that you don't really need that, so he's not even going to entertain that.
Exactly. There's times that, you know, you pray because you love somebody, oh, and he knows that person is not for you. I finally just put in God 10. God, I don't, you know, whoever you bring it. Now, you're going to have to throw it in there. Hey, you make sure he's cute because God might bring you somebody that might not be what you wanted. And you're going to have to accept that because that's what you asked for. So I always try to throw in and make sure he's a little bit good looking, Poppy, you know, make him this. And, you know what I'm saying? You got to ask for that stuff in supplication. I used to be like, Lord, please send me a man that loves you, that will love me and my children. I didn't expect him to bring me a convict, but that's one of the best convicts I've ever known. He treats me better than the one dude that's never been in prison.
Oh, my God.
That's true. And we got to be careful what we pray for as well.
Exactly, because you might get that.
Yeah, because you might get it. And then once you get it, like, say, for instance, my friend, she just got married. Pray for a man that loves her, you know, but what happens? You got to pray, and you got to be, you know, you also got to be detailed with your prayer. How about somebody loves you so much they don't want you to go anywhere? You know what I'm saying? So you got to be careful what you pray for as well.
Definitely. Yeah, you're right there. What I normally do when I pray, like, I don't have selfish prayers. When I pray, I actually pray for everybody else, and I think that's one of the reasons why I've always been blessed. I don't pray for things for myself, because I think one of the scriptures, you know, that a lot of people bypass that when they say that God helps those who help themselves. You know, I do for myself. If it's something that I need, then I'll go out and do the things that's necessary for me to get it. You know, when I pray for those who are in need, who aren't as fortunate as me, you know, that they have those things, you know. So I try not to pray for myself or for other people.
Definitely, definitely. We have one, he has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our inquest. Psalms 103:10. We can show mercy to others because God has shown mercy to us. We're sinful. We've done a lot of messed up things in our life, but that doesn't mean he doesn't love us because he repents our sins, and we try not to. So if God can forgive us, we can forgive other people and not try to judge them, you know? And also, you should love your neighbor as you love yourself, Luke 10:27. Compassion is always active. We have to love ourselves and also be able to love others. And also be diligent to present yourself approved to God, rightly dividing the word of truth. Timothy 2:15, apply yourself to the study of the Bible and apply the Bible to yourself. So make sure you know it, and you know it ins and out before you start practicing and saying different things to people, you know. Make sure you know what you're talking about. Make sure that you know what you're talking about, you know. And at the end of the day, God, stop asking God when you're in a time of need. Stop praising him for the little things. You know, they said, God is good. He put food on my table. He paid the rent. He made me be able to wake up and breathe. You didn't know that there was no way to help yourself the next day, but he made a way. He made a way that when there was no way. So God is good all the time. He might not come when you want it, but he's always on time. And we all know that, you know.
Anybody not come when you want him to come and when you expect him to come, but he going to come when you're ready. You know, one little thing I always do with my children when we pray, that I always remember when I was a little girl, I always asked him to send an angel to stand guard outside of our window in our house, protect us from any harm that anybody wants to do to us, just to have an angel to stand, protect all of us. And my children, that is something that they include every night in their prayer because, you know, they want to know that feeling of safety around them. Like, please pray for that angel, mommy. Because it's crazy. I'm like, you know, with God's choice, we wake up every day. You know,
exactly.
We might complain about stuff, but, yo, the guy that I knew committed suicide, and we're complaining that we're having a rough day. Think about the rough day that man had.
Right.
Definitely, definitely.
And if you're going through something, I'll tell you a good scripture. If you got people that are doing things, if you're having problems at work and you're struggling, like I said, I read the Bible even though I'm a Muslim. Read Psalms 35, very powerful scripture. If you feel as if you're being wronged by something or you're in a situation and people working evils against you, real powerful and touching scripture.
Definitely. And I want to go back in reference to my pastor at church. Shout out to, you know, Reverend Upchurch, my Calvary Missionary Baptist Church. The statement on that was talking about triumphing over the giant, you know. You take in the scripture where you have, this young boy, David, you know, and you got Goliath, right? David is a young shepherd boy, a nobody, you know, just a regular person. You got all these soldiers that's going against this guy, this big old giant, and nobody can defeat him. And David takes out, he has his shepherd clothes, you know, little rags and stuff, and, you know, just a regular normal guy. He takes out 5 smooth stones. And with these 5 smooth stones and his slingshot, he is able to conquer over a humongous giant. They asked him, the king can say, oh, well, you can use my armor. He says, no, I'm going to walk on faith and I'm going to wear what I have on, and I'm going to use my 5 smooth stones. I don't need a sword. I don't need anything. I'm going to use my 5 smooth stones, and I'm going to take him down because I believe it and I know it. God said if you speak it into existence, it shall be. Words are very powerful. you know, you, words are very powerful, and you must believe in them in order for it to manifest. And then on top of that, you know, she says take the five smooth stones, and the five smooth stones are representing the different things that we deal with in life, the giants that we deal with. One is worry. We worry about things a lot. And instead of worrying, sometimes we have to just put it in God's hands and take it to the altar and say, God, take it in your hands and you work on it and you move it and you make it happen. You know, do your will with it. So you take one of your smooth stones and you knock that down. That's one thing that we accomplish and knock down. The second thing is that them haters out there, you say you call them haters, some people, the devil is a liar. And one thing that you know, somebody that's trying to do wrong by you, somebody that's not righteous, if you know one thing about a non-righteous person, they can't tell the truth. They're liars. They're liars. They're liars.
Yes.
And that's one thing, yep. The devil is a liar. So when the devil wants to come upon you, the devil shall lie. And he will taunt you and make things look so good, but he's a liar, you know. So take out that other smooth stone and knock down those liars, those haters, and knock them down, because God is ready to work his will on you. The third thing that we look on is pain. You're going through pain, you're suffering, and stuff like that. Pain is only mental majority of the time, but we all suffer through pain. But how many times have we gone through pain and we've been able to wake up and get up out of our seat and be able to go to work to provide that food for our children? Our back hurt and our leg hurt, but we still be able to go over there and cook for our children and do what we have to do. God will move us in order to do that. But you're complaining and saying that you can't go to church or you can't do this or you can't do that. But ain't nobody stopped you from getting drunk last night and doing all that crazy stuff you was doing, huh?
Real
so
talk.
Let's knock that pain down. Let's knock that pain down now. We're going to knock that pain down with that smooth stone, right? And then the other thing we have, the thing that we deal with is feeling unloved. Sometimes we go out of here in this world and we feel unloved. We feel like as if, you know, nobody loves me. We find a lot of young ladies going into prostitution or being more promiscuous or even trying to find a significant other, or even a man trying to find a significant other or being promiscuous because he doesn't feel love. He doesn't truly love himself. So we have to find that inner love first, and know that God loves us more than anything. And you know why he loves us? Because they say, or as the Bible says, he gave his own begotten son for us, and in order for us to sacrifice for us, to, because he loved us so much. You know, we are his children. So, you know that true love. You know, say, what it really means to love. And love is patient, and love is kind, and love is not boastful. You understand what I'm saying? So love is not meant to hurt. Love is true and love is honest. So if you're feeling unloved, take out that smooth stone and knock that down. You just knock that down. And the last thing is fear. Fear of the unknown. Fear of being able to adapt to a situation. Fear of taking that risk and that chance to maybe take a step into something that might be good for your future. Fear of stepping outside of your comfort zone. That fear is a giant that we deal with every single day. That fear that if I lose my job today, will I be able to make it? God says that his children aren't born in a fear. Why shall you fear when you know you have a God above that loves you the most and he's going to provide for you? We weren't born to fear anything but God himself. So at the end of the day, how are you feeling? Why are you worrying? Take out that smooth stone and knock that one out. So you have become David, and you've knocked down the giant. We have to knock down these giants on our everyday life. So I implore you every day, when you feel like you're going through feeling I'm unloved, you're feeling like the hate is coming, when you feel like the pain is coming, when you feel like you're worried, when you feel like the fear is coming, take out your slingshot and your smooth stone and knock it down, and you can make it each and every day. Because all you do is got to say, today is going to be a good day, and make sure nobody, never give anybody the power Never give anybody the power in your life to make your life miserable, make your life unworthy, or make you feel like you're nothing. No one has that power in your life, and you control your destiny. Your destiny is written, but remember, life may throw you a curveball, and you can always change the direction that it goes because of our own decision. Know God itself from yourself and from your heart, and know it. And remember, everybody in life is God's messenger. Whether it's a wino on the street, whether it's a prostitute, they might have a message for you for that day. It might not have been meant for somebody else, but it was meant for you that day. It's all about being receptive to the message. And everybody can have a spiritual awakening. So never doubt it. And never say, or let somebody tell you, oh, no, you're not spiritual enough to get your spiritual awakening. Yes, you can. You know what I do? Every other month or at the end of the year, I fast for a whole month and I get my revelation. You get your revelation, you fast and you pray and you go on a meditation and you fast and you tell God or that higher power, whatever you believe in, to manifest whatever he sees that you need to do and tell you what you need to do later. So if you need to do that, I implore you fast. Fast and think and go on a meditation. And you will be revealed what's true to you, what's true to you in life. So really think about those different things that we discussed. And I'm telling you, if you're going through something, pull out that smooth stone. I'm telling everybody that's on the line right now, pull out your slingshot. Everybody, let's pull out our slingshot. Let's pull out our smooth stone, and let's knock it out. Boing. It's out.
Boing.
Goodbye. It's gone. It's gone. It's gone. We done conquered over the giant.
Pa fuera.
It's out of here. We got to conquer the giant each and every day, guys. And, you know, this was a great show. You know, we got, you know, philosophical with y'all. We got deep with y'all. We, you know, we laughed a bit and everything. But we told y'all the truth, man. Lush Radio Online, Street Queens, The Movement, E2K Magazine. It's the sheep thing. You know what I'm
People's
saying?
Voice.
You know, the street. You know what I'm saying? Everybody, man. And the Kings, man, live online with us, man. You know, we're here, you know, to tell you the truth, man. We're not going to lie to you, man. And if nobody tells you they love you today, we love you, all of us. We love you.
Thank
and
you
we want
all.
The best. Thank you. We love you all so much. And we just want you guys to be successful in whatever you do, man, and strive to be the best. And, I don't know. I mean, are we going to have two prayers today? We're going to have a prayer, and when we come from prayer, we're going to go ahead and you know, go into some quick things. What's new with us and what's going on? Because I know they got updates and news about things that's going on in the different areas. So we're going to go into a quick prayer real quick. So I ask everybody ahead, you know. This is Queens of Movement, and we're all bowing our heads. Oh, Heavenly Father, we call upon you because you are an awesome God, a wonderful God, and you are an all-knowing God and a forgiving God and a merciful God. God, you are the one that has brought the breath into our life. You are the one that provided food on our table. You are the one that provided hope when we thought there was no hope, God. God, you are an understanding God, a kind God, and a loving God. You love us when we're not even the best, and we don't even deserve you sometimes, God. Sometimes we feel like we've done you wrong, God, or we turn our backs on you, God, but you have always been there for us, God. You've never ran away from us, God. Sometimes we feel like sometimes we want to go our way, but you say, come this way. You might be there, and you might be back here, but God says, he will always be there for you, God. God, I call upon you, God. We have all your beautiful children locked here on the line, and we have people out there, God, that are going through it, God. I ask that you pray. I ask that I pray upon their heads, and I ask for you to put your will and put your grace on these people and put them in your bosom, God, and the people that are out there that are suffering, going through homelessness, going through starvation, going through sickness, going through different things, you know, your birth, anything that they're going through, God, please watch over them, whether it's their financial God,
Please bless their finances and their pockets, God. You know, also bless them where they were going through situations with their children, God. Bless them, God, to get through whatever adversity or obstacle. Because you know, God, you can break down any wall and you can break down any obstacle, God, because you are awesome, God. And we were made in your image, God. And we know how much you love us, God. And we just ask you to keep us in your heart. And keep providing us and instill your power and grace in our minds, bodies, and our soul. And let us walk in your path, God. I know we are not perfect, God, and the flesh was born in the sin. But please keep us in your right way. Keep us in your righteousness, God. And watch over us, please, God. From Emma to Ebony to Swag to Genius to Bugsy to Natalia. To all of our beautiful queens and all the queens out there and all the brothers and sisters out there going through the struggle, our soldiers out there, God, single mothers, single fathers, and the children, God, the people in Haiti, God, watch over them, God, provide for them, God. You are good, God. And in your name we pray, amen.
Amen.
Yeah, that's what it is. That's what it is. And so that was
I gotta go.
Now.
One of my friends just texted me, and she's having, she just got results back from the doctor that she might have some type of cancer. So I'm getting ready to call her right now. So you guys,
okay,
her name is Brenda, so you guys keep her in your prayers. I love you guys, and we'll reconvene on Thursday.
That's what it is. Love you, sis. That was a prayer that went out to everybody, and we definitely love all of you guys. We're going to really quick, like, any updates and new things that's going on with the community and stuff like that. I'm going to let the guys throw the stuff out, new things that's going on with them, their new and stuff, or different things that they think you guys should check out and stuff like that. We're going to go first with the of Street Queens, the movement. Any new things that's going on or anything you want the people to check out?
Which one do I pick? Well, if you're already following me on the Facebook, you know, check out my the daily questions that I'm posting up. I post Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. We get into some real deep topics, and everybody's coming in, leaving their comments, which is most appreciated. On my personal, I do it out on the E2K of Facebook and on my personal one. My personal one is strictly for people that I know and know me, no disrespect to anybody else. But everybody else could join the Business E2K Magazine Facebook. We post questions every Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays, and we welcome everybody's comments. And we actually will use some of those topics to actually discuss in here in Street Queens, the movement, as well. So anybody that wants to tap into that, that's something that I'm getting into very heavily.
Yeah, definitely. And the questions are popping because, I mean, she be having like almost like 70 comments or more, you know, on the Facebook. So definitely I implore you guys to go check out the Facebook and everything and make sure that you follow her on Twitter. Make sure you follow her on Twitter.
Okay. E2K underscore magazine. Yeah, thanks, Lush. I forgot. I'll be plugging that, and I just totally forgot. Follow me on Twitter. I'm trying to reach 1,000 before the year ends. Help me out. I think I'm up to 700. So follow me, E2K underscore magazine.
That's what it is. I'll go to the fellas over there. Genius, anything new popping off with you guys and everything like that?
Well, we're doing a big thing for the city on the 20th on Father's Day. You know, if anybody's in the DMV, come out. It's for the kids. You know, there's going to be a bunch of performers that's there as well. There's actually two slots that's available for indie artists or anybody that's you know, willing to perform. There's two 45-minute. I'm losing my voice, so forgive me. There's two 45-minute slots that's available for that. There's going to be a carnival for the kids. You know, they're going to have the clowns and everything out. It's going to be in Adams Morgan. There's going to be performances there. It's going to be food. You know, it's going to be real cultural. It's going to be nice, something, you know, good to be able to do. And it's all nonprofit, you know, for the city, giving back. So, you know, I welcome anybody that, you know, wants to participate to come on out and, you know, be a part. And if you want to be a part of it, you can hit me up on Twitter or, you know, give me a call if you have my number. And
can
I can give you all the information.
Can you make sure that Lux has that information? I would like to post it on my website. Definitely.
Yes, I'll definitely do that. I think I told her about it before. I'll definitely send her the information for it and everything. It's been
okay,
basically a way of...
Okay,
so
if you're
telling somebody and sending us the information, Pimpin, send us the information, Pimpin.
Yes, I will send you the information so that you have it. Don't beat me up. I'll all of the information on it. It's my way of giving back. I love the kids, you know, so, and I always love to give back. So, you know, it's my way of doing that, you know, and hopefully
up.
Again.
The fathers need
you know,
that. There's some good dads out there, and we have to definitely, you know, look beyond the ones that ain't doing nothing and really, you know, respect the ones that
yeah,
are stepping
do.
Up.
Definitely, I definitely appreciate that. I mean, there are some good fathers out here. I know I ain't alone. You know what I'm saying? I know my brothers
are
on the phone on the show today. They doing it, so you know it's
yeah,
out
I'm
here.
Glad,
unfortunately, we have a lot of this. So.
Yeah, I'm glad
but,
to know a whole bunch of people. Even though you know the majority, you know that is not so good. But the ones that I personally do know. Excellent fathers, and I'm always willing to always big them up and big up anybody, man or woman, that's up there stepping up and doing what they need to do. They just,
yes, definitely.
You know, they definitely need to be bigged up all the time.
Yeah, that's
being
what
a man, though, I'll say, you know, take care of your kids, man. Just don't lay down with somebody and have a child, man. Father your kids. You know, don't be no part-time
your
dad. Take care of your kids.
Cousins that don't want to pay child support and don't want to take care of their kids and stuff. But that's just my personal gripe, though. Ignore me.
Yeah. No, I feel you. I mean, it makes me angry. I bust my butt to do everything to provide a better life for my son, and I see these knuckleheads. I just had to jack up a family member's, you know, baby father, you know, for not doing the right things. If I see you at the gas station looking fresh, you know, and you got a fresh whip and your kids looking homeless, is a problem, you know. So I'm not an advocate for people not taking care of their kids. I don't like that. I take my hat off to the women that's trying to do it on their own, you know, because she refuses to ask them for anything. I don't understand that. You know, she wants to do it on her own, but the kids shouldn't have to suffer. She didn't have them by herself. But she shouldn't have to take care of them by herself, you know. So,
definitely.
You know.
But we're gonna go over here to Swag. Swaggerific, you know, you got some of that root juice you drinking over there, man. The wheatgrass and all that.
You know it, Lush. You know it. You know the wheatgrass and the chlorophyll. I got that running through my system, so I've been like this since I've been up, which is 6 o'clock in the morning. You know what I mean? So people at my job, they like, damn, what are you doing?
Swag, I'm taking that. Ever since you mentioned that, I'm taking the pills. I went and I bought them, and I'm actually consuming some chlorophyll.
That's positive. That's positive. You're definitely going to see a result pretty soon, you know, and your actions, and then you're going to see, like, the clearness in your skin and things like that. So that's definitely positive. What I wanted to talk about was basically, you know, I like to have everyone that listened today or someone that's going to go online and download this show, and if there's anyone that missed the books that I spoke about, or if they're interested in other books that involve politics, culture, you know, love, finance, you know, or computers or whatever, just you can hit me up on my Facebook. And big shout out to Lush for hitting me up. What you call it? One of the books that I was building about that I was talking about, The Secret Science, right, by John Baines, actually I named my email address about 12 years ago after that book. So my email address is thesecretscienceandthenumber7@yahoo.com. If you add me on Facebook, it's under my government, which is David Fernandez. So holler at me. Hit me up. It's your boy Swag 2010, and I'm still going.
holler at me and we could build a network. So we can stay positive and keep elevating. You know what I mean?
Peace to God. Peace to the gods.
Peace.
For real, peace. That's what, you know what, we need to do a whole entire, like, Street Queens, like, manual, like, book, like memoirs with everything we've, like, touched on and, like, get everybody that's, like the kings, like, write their little different synopsis and stuff about different things we touched and just make an e-book.
Let's do it.
That sounds like a good idea.
Yeah, we got too much knowledge. Let's do it before somebody else do it. Yo, swag. Get the politics on that and the legality and let's go.
That's what it is. You know, when you got a bunch of positive people in a room, you guaranteed to just have brightness and all kind of beautiful colors. You know what I mean? Coming out of it. Everything that's going to come out of it is beneficial, and it's like eating healthy foods. You know what I mean? It's like everything is organic. So, you know, you're in good hands.
And I'll do the Spanish version. We could touch the boricuitas, too.
All right. That's what it is.
So, I'm going to tell y'all what's new, what's going on with me. Okay, real quick. Lush has started her lush diet. Lush has been consuming nothing but water. I've cold turkey stopped the sodas and the juices. I lost 5 pounds. I walk like a mile today and stuff like that, you know, even though my ankles bother me. But I was able to do 30 push-ups and 30 sit-ups, but I'm trying to work my way up to 100. It's a struggle, but I'm determined that I'm trying to take it down, you know, so... Hey, you're going to see the new Lush soon, so I'm working on it.
Can't wait for those photos.
Yeah, crazy, man. But, I mean, how y'all feel about, what's y'all summary about the show? What y'all think about the show? Do y'all feel like it was beneficial? How y'all feel about the show?
You already know this is my therapy every Thursday. I don't pay no psychiatrist, so I get this for free, you know, with my street queens and my kings, and we come here and we build. And this be my church, this be my you know, my psychiatrist, and I vent here and all that, and it's all good. I love my Thursdays with my street queens and everybody that calls in and touching each topic. I receive more knowledge and it's just like a circle. I get and I give, so it feels good to me.
Definitely, man. I feel like I'm feeding my soul every Thursday when I'm on this joint. Like, this is my therapy, too. Like, especially when Swag and Genius come on and the ladies and we share about books and different information to better ourselves. It just feels good, man. I feel like I'm full when I'm done doing this show, man.
Absolutely.
How the fellas feel?
Well, I learn something new every day, and, you know, it's a blessing. Like I tell you, thank you all the time for even having the outlet and venue, you know, and forum for discussion to be able to educate people, which is important because, you know, a lot of times people, you know, they don't have that, you know, they're not getting it at home, you know, and I don't think the schools is even teaching the kids right, so... You know, being able to do that, I think that's truly a blessing. And who wouldn't want to be in a forum with a bunch of beautiful women, you know? So, you know, for that.
About sexy. About sexy women, too. Sexy. I like sexy. I like the word sexy.
Well, all of the sexy women. And to be able to speak on an intellectual level, you know, because when you see a lot of things on television that are so negative, it has you to believe that dialogue has to be negative, you know, or it has to be ignorant. And there are people that, you know, are capable of being able to speak without profound uses of vulgarity to be able to get their point across, even though occasionally sometimes you may curse or things like that. But the whole moral of it is actually teach and empower people. And I'm always be supportive of that. Even if I didn't call in, I listened. So, you know, and it's kind of therapeutic for me, too.
We appreciate you, and we give imaginary hug. Can you feel it?
Definitely.
Can you feel it?
Definitely.
Swag? How you feel about it, Swagger?
I mean, I definitely know that this is, you know what I mean, this is like Noah's Ark, you know what I mean? It's like I'm stepping into a chamber, and I have a lot of chambers I step into, but on Thursday, this is one of the chambers that I step into, and I'm in a comfort zone. So it's like, it's kind of like a tabernacle, you know what I'm saying? I'm surrounded by nothing but positive energy, so I'm definitely, and I'm going to give out positive energy because that's just what I do naturally. So, you know, it's a blessing, you know what I mean? It's definitely a blessing, and it's, you know, as time progresses, it's only going to multiply the amount of listeners because all I talk about all day long is living a better life, a better quality of life. So if you want to listen to, you know, the Jews that's there, some of these Jews I'm talking about is ancient Jews. You can't even find it in the book, some of this stuff, because it has to be calculated through the brain, through the mind, and transmitted through like speakers and stuff like that. You know what I mean? That's why they try to get rid of people who have that knowledge and that's not afraid to release that energy. So it's going to definitely be positive, and it's motivating, and it's inspiring. You know what I mean? And I love it. You know, I think the show today was excellent. You know, I learned a lot, and I hope people was able to learn from me or from some of the books that I was able to read and gain some of the things from, you know. So it's definitely positive energy given and taken.
We definitely appreciate you, Swag, too, and your Swag,
yeah,
too, and your Swag.
Peace. Shalom. Shalom. Hotel.
you always bring a lot of knowledge to the table, and that's why we appreciate you. And, again, you know, feel our hug and feel the love. And we glad that you come in and you feel that comfort because that's what we try to provide. You know, our street queens here, we want everybody to feel in their most comfort so we can be able to discuss different topics and all, you know, and everybody leaves with that good feeling, you know. That's so we're doing our job then if that's what everybody is getting out of it.
Yeah, definitely. And we definitely came a long way, Emma. You know, we've been trooping it out.
Oh, man, in the paint.
We've been going in the paint, and it only gets better, you know what I'm saying, like that right wine, it only gets better by age. So we've been giving it to y'all guys, and we're glad that people are getting what they need out of the situation. And I'm just really glad that we're able to provide this outlet for people because, you know, not too many radio shows, not too many people out there want to even touch on some of the subjects that we touch because they feel it's so taboo and it's forbidden to talk about,
right.
You know, so let's talk about it. Let's be honest with ourselves. Let's be honest with our community and let's educate ourselves and pass education on to our children because at the end of the day, real talk, how are we going to ask these people to teach our children when it's up to us to teach our children and teach them the values? And we want to implore to our children to always seek knowledge. Don't be closed-minded. Open your mind
Definitely.
Up to new things, new ideas, you know?
Right, and it's not a bad thing to be in tune with that. You know, that's another thing we have to do is get rid of that. Like, you know, like people used to always say, like, and some people still say, a lot of people say, oh, yeah, you know, here go these Jehovah's Witnesses and here go these, you know, here go these Mormons. I bring anybody into my house. I bring anybody into my house. They can sit here. We can have a conversation on whatever it is because at the end of the day, if you know something I don't know, I'm going to take that knowledge, shake your hand, and move on and pass it to the next person, you know? So with that said, I just want to say this last thing, and then I'm going to be quiet, and I'm going to listen and do the knowledge. You know, there's a book that I read, and this is the author's name is John C. Maxwell, and the name of the book is Developing the Leader Within You. And it's a book that I read years ago when I was working at a financial firm, and it helped me develop myself a lot as a person. And one of the things that stood out in the book is it says that in order to be successful, you must first learn to be effective. So in everything I do in my work, in my family life, in my, you know, my relationship with my friends, I strive to be, you know, effective so that way I could become successful in that relationship.
Mm. That's peace. That's peace.
That's good food for thought.
Yeah. You know what? The crazy thing about Swagger is he crazy because when Swagger first came on the show and stuff, I think it was Swagger and Swagger. When they first came on the show, it was crazy as hell. Like,
And then later on, he started warming up. Swagger just started dropping a lot. And he would be in New York and just grab people and be like, yo, I'm on the street in New York, yo, ask this question. Yo, but we love Swagger, man. We love you being on the show, though, Swagger. It's never a boring day when Swagger's on the show. Word up.
That's for sure. You know what I'm saying? That's for sure. Definitely
have a great mind, man.
Yeah, definitely appreciate everybody out there.
Definitely.
That's out there doing their things and stuff like that. And please support Street Queens Movement and all our different outlets. Log on to E2K Magazine online, that's radio online, you know, www.blogtalkradio.com/that's radio online. Follow us at Twitter and stuff like that, you know what I'm saying, at Let's Radio Online, E2K Magazine. Check us out on Facebook. Yo, we here. Support the movement. Call in. 347-826-7722 each and every Thursday, man. Where else can you get food with this knowledge that we're giving you? Come on, people pay for this, man.
And
people
you don't
got to
pay no tithes. I was going to say that, and we don't got to pay no tithes for this. Look at this. No tithes for it. I mean?
You got a sermon, and you didn't even have to pay a tithe. Wow.
And not being, and you're not being judged. You're not being judged and don't have to worry about what you're wearing.
And you can get, and you can speak. And you can speak. You can actually talk and speak your mind, and people really want to hear what you got to say. Where? In church, you got to sit down and just listen.
That's what it is. And that's what it is. Let's Radio Online, Street Queens, the movement, E2K Magazine, It's the She Thing. The whole squad up. You know what I'm saying?
Shout out to Murder Mommies.
Shout out to Murder Mommies. The whole squad, man. We here, man. This is what we do, man. We're here to change your life and our lives at the same time. Let's work together, because if we're not working together, we're not working at all. And I'm going to tell you, this guy right here, I played it in the beginning. I'm going to play it again because I love this guy. I first heard this on Gospel Wild. It's called Lord, I Need You Now. And somebody out there needs the Lord right now. Somebody out there is suffering right now. Somebody out there is worrying right now. Somebody is in fear right now. Remember, God is good and God is with you. And remember, if you need him, call on him and he'll be there. Might not be there when you want him, but he's always on time. And this song is called Lord, I Need You Now by Smoke Norfolk. And this goes out to everybody out there that's going through something. So I love you, love, peace, nappiness, chicken grease, and all that. Chicken
Say I love you, bye. Te amo, te quiero.
Ow, spicy. We out of here. Street Queens of Movement, man. Lord, I leave you now. Love and blessings and nappiness, man. Make sure you get that kitchen back there, man. It's looking beady. Holla at me. We out of here. Ow!
Not a second for another minute, not an hour or another.